live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going. Goodbye, baby.
610, hi, welcome to Monday. It's the final week before the final week before the new year. Right? Is that right?
For the final.
Final new year.
Sound like one of the guys with the cardboard out front on Wecker Drive.
It's the last chance for you to survive. Hope you all had a nice weekend.
Well, because you do a show on New Year's Eve, your deadline, I think Christmas is like, to you. You're looking to...
I really like Christmas. Could never be to me. But there is no end of the year.
Yeah, because your end of the year is literally the end of the year.
18 so. Consecutive New Year's Eves. How do I do it? Look who's back. It's Dave.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, buddy.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Dave.
Hi. No one else I recognize is in the booth. I mean, I know Curtis, but,
Curtis, yeah,
but
Curtis.
Pete, there's no Super Joe or Pete.
Had to get rid of him.
Things change so quickly around here.
I think they're vacationing in New Mexico together.
Mm. Yeah.
I hope Super Joe didn't wear that suit.
By the way, that's Pete and his wife, not Super Joe and Pete.
Oh.
Yes. Dave, how was your dad?
My dad was great. Tomorrow is his 95th birthday, so we did the celebration on Saturday night. We had a nice family dinner.
Are you saying he didn't know it was tomorrow?
No, he knew, but the logistics worked
out
that we could do it this weekend, so that's when we had the celebration. It was great. He was doing great. We had some nice time together.
Physically, he's still strong?
Physically, he's going good, yeah.
And he's still driving, right?
He's Yeah. Wow. Whether we like it or not, he's still driving.
Still playing tennis?
He plays handball. Nice handball.
Yeah, that's
actually harder.
Yes, wow. But he's played it his whole life.
Does he play pickleball?
He has played. He is not playing
it
currently.
He plays it with actual pickles.
Yes, that's right.
Well, that's amazing.
Nice. Somebody else's birthday is tomorrow, too, right?
Ross Cochran is tomorrow.
Oh.
Abigail Grace turns 3 today.
Wait, does Ross Cochran play
Abigail's birthday?
Ross isn't up to those kind of physical
activities. He doesn't play handball
activities.
Or pickleball?
No.
And we don't care about Ross's birthday anymore. When the baby's born, you know.
Yeah, he knows. Abigail. Oh, he knows.
He knows. It's gone, yeah.
We had a party for Abigail Grace yesterday.
Oh, that's great.
So, tore the roof off the sucker, mm-hmm.
If
you can imagine.
She got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, she did, and she wouldn't let me play with any of it.
Aww.
So, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
All right, we'll catch up on everything coming up.
Wait, you're bearing the lead on the birthday party. What color did you wear?
Oh, it's pink.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pink, yeah.
A muted pink? A hot pink? What are you going for?
It's kind of a muted pink.
Yeah.
Good call by you.
Pink
yeah, it's a muted pink.
Shirt pink.
Pink head to,
what?
Pink head to toe, you know me.
It was a pink, Mary, it was a pink out party. Everyone had to be wearing pink.
Oh, gotcha.
So.
But I wore a combo. It was a sort of a washed out pink t-shirt sort of look.
Uh-huh.
And then a standard button down business, a casual, dark blue with pink accents. Because, you know, I like to highlight my eyes.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's strong. That sounds strong.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like I should have won best dressed.
I feel like, Us Weekly strong.
My mother showed up at the party dressed in something similar to me.
Oh.
So that was a little disconcerting. She looked great, though. She actually had on, my mother had on a pink wig. And she's reached an age where you're wondering if it was a mistake. But no, it turned out she was dressing for the party.
Oh, that's so cute. And
it's a fun party, yeah.
Yeah, and she's the only one to put a wig on. Well, Patti LaBelle was there. But, I mean, she's the only one other than that. So, but, yeah, we had a great time. And happy birthday to my squirt, Abigail Grace, 3 years old today. Can you believe that, Mary? 3 years
no,
old?
No, I can't believe it. So fast.
That means 4 years ago she was born, right? You know, because the first year there's no age.
There's month age.
Yeah, but, I mean, she was zero. She was born 4 years ago, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I was doing a math on that. I'm going.
I know. So that means... That makes
Two?
You even older, you know, like it was even longer
Two?
Ago.
So weird when you
She's
think about it that way.
She's lived 3 full years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But 3 years and 9 months, actually.
She's all right, now I'm that. Really confused.
Yeah. I was told there'd be no math.
No kidding. Dr. Most coming up. Also, Dan Hampton on the amazing Chicago Bears. And no, I'm not being cynical or nasty. Ryan Nobles later on you know what he's going to be talking about. Mayor Rahm Emanuel later. Amongst the things I want to discuss with the mayor is this. Curtis, check this out. It's either Showtime or HBO. It's a documentary, a sit-down documentary of the primary players in the financial crisis of 2008. And Rahm Emanuel was chief of staff. And was right in the middle of it. So I'm going to ask him about that. Jen Weigel's going to come in because, you know, around the holidays, I like to bring my friends in and just, hang out in the studio. That way I don't have to send them a Christmas card.
Smart.
Just come and help host the show. We got somebody after 9 I want you to meet. It was a big story, in the northern burbs, real tragedy about a dad and a son. It gets sad and deeper than that, but it's a nice legacy moving forward. So we'll talk to Joe McQuillan later as well. All right, let's see the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, let's go live to Soldier Field, where Dave has been standing by. Dave, the Bears won.
The Bears won, and they are NFC North champs for the first time since 2010.
Just want to say that I'm the only one on the show that saw this coming back in July.
You were.
The only one that came out and courageously said the Bears.
You had them 12-4, as I recall.
It was 12-4. Yeah, it was 12-4. look, nobody's more surprised about this than I am. And great for the Bears. Congratulations.
It's tremendous.
Over. Yeah. It ain't over.
Aaron Rodgers' interception-free streak goes away. Aaron Rodgers winning at Soldier Field goes away. Aaron Rodgers kind of went away.
He kind of did. He was sacked 5 times. Khalil Mack, they could not block him. Wow. And they just kept collapsing the pocket. And he was not looking like Aaron Rodgers has typically looked against
anyone
the Bears.
Anyone who watched the NFL yesterday, you saw the Defensive Player of the Year candidates play Khalil Mack against the Packers and Aaron Donald again on Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. He was completely bottled up, Aaron Donald, once again.
For the
Khalil
second week
Mack,
in a row.
Just every single play is involved with the ball. He is close to a sack or pressuring the quarterback. If he is not Defensive Player of the Year, there's something wrong. Unbelievable.
I think we should call it the Mack attack. Has anyone used that yet?
I don't know if they have.
Oh, I like that.
Steve, you probably missed on Instagram yesterday, but Justin was wearing Zubaz and a Bears jersey. And
hold on a second. You can't possibly own Zubaz.
They're a Zuba-like. They're not traditional.
Zubaz went out of business.
Zubaz are the
20 years ago, didn't
they? Very near and dear to my heart. That's the zebra kind of. These were a little bit different.
Were these the orange and blue ones?
They're orange and blue, but they were a Bears logo like zebra. They're knockoff.
These Zubaz, you know, you like to give me a hard time about the 90s?
Yeah.
Zubaz was started by a company in Minneapolis, and I went to the Zubaz factory when Zubaz were cool.
I'm not sure Zubaz were ever cool.
Yeah. What did you find, a week there?
Well, it was 10 days.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 10 days. But Zubaz were hot for a period of time, and all the players wore them in particular. Mm-hmm. And we just walked around and got whatever we want. And, of course, I'm thinking, well, we're in Minnesota. We're going to grab Vikings gear.
Yeah.
Why would we get other stuff?
Those are probably.
And they're like pajamas. Too. They're just,
purple,
they're just logoed
stripes.
Pajamas
There's
with crazy colors.
On Amazon right now.
Zubaz company closed, didn't they?
Now they're all knockoffs. I think they just license it in some way. So I they're not original Zubaz. I don't want to give. I love that we have now said the word Zuba 17 times on WC
Radio
this morning.
Anyway, reporting Justin live from Soldier Field, Dave Ennett.
I was head to toe.
And more later on the Thank Bears. You.
Yeah, Justin, Bears. Head to toe. And he posted a poll on Instagram, too much or no? I voted yes, too much.
And the no's had it. The Bears fans came out. They gave me the 70%. Mary was one of the minority votes.
So yes, too much or no?
So no, too much. They said more.
Oh, they said more.
They wanted more.
I said yes, too much.
Got it. Mary said no more.
All right, next. We have a celebration. Charles Leno proposed to his girlfriend of 5 years, Jennifer Roth, at midfield after the Bears clinched.
Wow.
And sadly, the couple was run down by people as they came across the field from one bench to the other. Did anybody catch it? Was it seen? Was it?
Yes. Oh, there's video.
Now, here's the question I have. Setup. So they went. I was watching the Fox post game, and they were going around the horn, the national broadcast, and they went to interview Mitch Trubisky on the field. Like they had the reporter there, yeah. And it was obviously taped because the game was over. And in the background on the main screen, Charles Leno Jr. was on his knee. Doing the whole proposal, and I thought it was hilarious because he's like, "We just take it day by day. We try to win games." Like he didn't know what was happening behind him, Trubisky, and it's just you drew your eye to the big screen in that interview, and you're like, "What's that? Is he proposing to his lady?" And it was just hilarious that no one, that the reporter didn't say anything about it. Mitch Trubisky didn't say anything about it.
None of the people on the field have an ability to ad lib at all. And I know you have somebody in your ear telling you got this long, ask this, ask
they have
that.
30 seconds.
But how about you turn around and go, listen, forget about the game for a second.
Yeah. Hey, look.
Your teammate's getting married.
It was remarkable television.
Because what did she say?
She said no.
A couple of the players, a couple of the Bears players were there, and they were sort of doing this little victory dance after she said
Bruno Mars, Will You Marry Me, was playing.
Yeah.
I mean, there was...
It was set up. Nice.
They had the whole thing choreographed.
What's the girl's name, do you know?
Jennifer Ross.
Was Jennifer upset when somebody on the Bears poured Gatorade over her head as she was saying yes?
That was part of the... It was choreographed to happen. The only unanswered question is where did he have the ring during the game?
And would he have done the same thing if they lost at home to the Packers? If the Packers would have won, he's like, I don't care. Will you marry me? Like, I think that wouldn't go over well to the
You know what?
Field.
I think he had flown her family out. I think it was going to happen, win or lose.
In the post game, they were asking, the reporters were asking where he kept the ring, and he said somewhere safe. And then they questioned socks, and then he said no, and they stopped asking because I think they were afraid that he was going to say in his groin.
Well, the equipment manager.
I'm sure the water boy had it.
He made it seem like it was on his person.
I don't think he kept it in his supporter.
Like, I'm going to put this in my supporter for the entire game. Set hike.
Be a little uncomfortable.
Do they put little pockets in those? Because like in Lululemon pants, you have a little pocket right at your waist.
They have the hand warmers.
You know what the pocket's for? The cup. The cup goes in the pocket.
I don't think they wear cups in football.
No? Well, you, no, I think generally they get injured. Generally speaking, no, but there are guys who do. I know I did.
If you're going to hide an engagement ring, you wear a cup.
I also think they don't wear Lululemon pants on the field.
Not on the field.
No, they wear Zubas.
Helpful texter from the 630 says Zubas is still in business at ZUBAZ.com. That's great news for you, Justin.
All right, finally.
I feel badly that I got you all that rock gear. I should have paid more attention and gotten you Zubas.
You should have, right.
Next. Colin Kroll, tech executive who co-founded HQ Trivia and was one of these tech geniuses. He also was a co-founder of a number of other services, including Vine. Dead at 34, OD on drugs, they think or they know?
They think. His girlfriend had to call the police to do a wellness check because he hadn't responded. And when they got there, there was drug paraphernalia near him. So,
doesn't matter how much money you have, you can still lose your life, stupid. It's a sad story. 34 years old.
Yeah.
And then we have this. Next. I'm just going to do these last three because they're all, you know, Trump/government related. Deadline to avoid a partial government shutdown's Friday. Even if a legislative solution is found, Republican leaders don't know that they'll have the votes to pass it. Some House Republicans who lost last month are about to retire and haven't shown up for votes. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do, fire me?
They're on recess till Wednesday, which I thought was interesting with this looming deadline on Friday.
Well, it's hard to vote.
Yeah.
You know, you got to go in, you got to vote. I mean, come on.
I think that you would do it the other way, where you would do it now and then go on recess. Yeah. Thursday, Friday.
Not without stretching. Trump also tweeted this weekend his support for Patty Blagojevich. Didn't mention clemency, but it's great to see that the president's busy with the issues that really matter to America. And there's a new report out on Russian disinformation that says 120 million people on Facebook in America were engaged in some form of Russian disinformation, though they did not know it at the time. There are 20 million on Instagram. And 80,000 votes determined the winner of the election in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. That is less than one half of 1% of 120 million, not 140 million. If you don't think that made a difference in the election, it did. It did. All right? That's your top six at six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Excuse me for a second. I am ordering Charles Leno Zubas for the wedding.
Geez, what would be the size on a Charles Leonard Zubas?
Yeah.
Extra
large. Oh, they stretch. Samberg?
We should thank the wonderful Doc Emmerich. He took time out of his busy schedule yesterday to drop off the old-fashioned candy that he gives us. There's giant Charleston Chew bars and things.
Well, he came by the station?
He came by the station yesterday.
That's great.
And he dropped it off. He left it here. And then...
How is it still here? The weekend we have this roving band of wild dogs. It takes everything that's not locked up.
I know. He put my name on it, so I think that that's...
People are afraid of you.
People are afraid of me. But nice on his talk. Way back to wherever he was staying, he took a picture of the Tribune Tower, and he said the walk back is so hard because he's sad, you know.
I walked by the Tribune Tower the other night when I was downtown, and... It's not even there. It's just boarded up.
Yeah, it was through his little picture was through a chain link fence. You know, a little. Yeah.
My friend Monica Eng, who used to work at the Tribune and works at BEC now, she asked. They're redoing the facade of the Tribune Tower, and if you remember what they did with all the reporters at the Tribune, they'd bring back bricks from all over the world. Right? And they had the Castle of Edinburgh, and they had all these different places. And they're not. She's wondering what's going to happen, and she's like investigating because they won't answer if those bricks will.
Well, that was
saved.
The deal. They were supposed to save the facade completely.
They're redoing the facade, so she still does not have an answer on that.
Well, let's ask Ron when he's in here. Mayor Emanuel will be here later. Let's ask him.
He's pressing issues.
Then. He's in charge of all the construction issues in town.
If we're going to get into construction issues with him, then well, you open know, it up is, the phone
but,
lines.
But seriously, it is a big deal to people.
Yeah,
people that come to town, they want to see that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Doc Emmerich took time out of his schedule.
Thanks, Doc.
Doc's the best.
Yeah.
The Blackhawks are awful. There's no other way to put it. And Corey Crawford is back on the concussion protocol and out for who knows how long.
Yeah, and I think you have to be more concerned about his well-being,
his future.
That's very scary. And if you saw the play where he hit his head on the goalpost, and
it's unbelievable. He got hit like a linebacker would hit a kick returner who didn't see him coming. His head slammed into the left post, blew the goal off its moorings. It's amazing he got up.
Yeah, yeah. But he
how
did
often
not...
does that happen in hockey for goalies? Yeah.
Not that kind of hit.
Yeah, this was full force.
Yeah, and, two guys.
And Dylan Strome, his own teammate, ended up barreling into it.
Yeah.
It's something that we won't know probably for a while, and they'll keep this pretty much under wraps, except that Jeremy Colliton did say after the game it is a concussion and he's going to be in the protocol, and then we'll see where it goes.
If the Hawks had any chance of digging out of this hole, you would need a healthy Corey Crawford to play like he's played in the past.
Well, you'd certainly think so.
That's a tough blow.
But I am still drunk with anticipation.
Yes!
The Pittsburgh Penguins win the other night, I really thought was a corner turner.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. And last night, the Hawks had 20 shots on goal, which is inexcusable for the amount of talent they have on the team. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do. Today is their annual Christmas party, which is, I'm sure they're thrilled about that. But I'm feeling because I love, you know, look, I love those guys. They're our team.
Right.
But they're not good. And they're better than they're playing, but they're just really playing badly.
Well, and they were playing really well up until Corey got hurt. I mean, the game was intense, and then I don't blame them for that being shaking them up a bit.
Nah, be a pro. You know, your goalie gets hurt, suck it up. 20 shots on goal. I had that with my Nerf hockey stick this Saturday when I was pretending I was in the NHL. all right, we could come back with your headlines in just a second on 720 WGN.
What seems to be the problem?
Bicycle accident. Fractured tibia about 5 inches below patella.
Dr. Harris.
Yes?
Do you concur?
Concur with what, sir?
With what Dr. Ashland just said. Do you concur?
Well, it was a bicycle accident. The boy told us.
So you concur?
He's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
You know, the real star last night, the only bright spot in the Hawks last night was Jerry, your nephew, Kevin. Dr. Most joins us now.
Hello?
Yeah, I was saying Jerry was the only real bright spot last night. Would you agree?
I would agree. You know, he's just a good kid, and I'll tell you, I love the Blackhawks, and not only the team, but the management as well. And
fabulous.
You know, he's standing there talking to his dad about the game before the game starts, and one of the management guys walked by and is listening to him and says, "You are a real fan." He says, "Let me take a picture here. Put on my Stanley Cup ring, and let me take." And it's just things like that don't happen a lot,
right.
And it's just a cool thing that teaches him a lesson of being polite to people.
Yeah.
And well, I can't say enough about the Hawks organization. Jay and the team is really great.
I mean, he was already polite. His father is not a good guy, but his, but, you know, David,
correct.
Your brother. No,
yep.
Your whole family, you know, I tell you this all the time, especially around the holidays. And I credit your mom and your dad. I never knew your dad, but your mom's a fabulous one.
Yeah, she really is. Yeah.
So anyway, glad to have you back on. And over the weekend, major health news. A federal judge in Texas declared Obamacare unconstitutional. What does that mean?
Well, you know, and not only did he do it, he couldn't have done it at a worse time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he announced this on Friday, and the sign-up for the Affordable Care Act ended Saturday night. So anybody that was, like, even on the fence of putting it off to the last minute here might have held off, and we saw that quite a few people have not. Now, what does this actually mean? It means that we're going to have some legal battles probably over the next year as far as the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act.
Doesn't mean anything to people that have an ACA policy now or have signed up for an ACA policy. It's not going to impact them.
No, it will not at all. And hopefully everyone did. Unfortunately, in Illinois, our sign-up period ended Saturday. Some other states have extended their sign-up periods, but it was a weird year. You know, we went from 3 months of sign-up with a lot of marketing to down to 6 weeks and minimal marketing. Do you even remember seeing an ad saying, go sign up?
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, too, about how the advertising budget has been axed. But, Dr. Most, this is this has been litigated to death. I mean, you had the Affordable Care Act went to the Supreme Court at one point. There seems to be all sorts of challenges all the time. What makes this different than some of the stuff that we've gone through as citizens in the past?
Yeah, well, the Trump change, the tax change that he made last year, one of the things that he did is he removed the fine on the individual mandate. So in other words, you either had to get insurance or you had to pay a fine to the federal government. Once he removed that, that seems to be the portion that is making this to come back to review the law. So not having to pay insurance and not having to have that mandate is one of the things that's big.
Now, the other thing I saw was that this gives opportunity for Congress to think about the ACA and improve it or change it or move things moderate, especially with Democrats in charge. Do you think that would be good for the health care for them to look at this again and rethink it or go back to the drawing board?
Yeah, I think it's always good to relook at it at least. You know, I think some of the things that we really need to make sure we're protecting, and, you know, the Democrats obviously want to do this, as do a bunch of Republicans, is pre-existing conditions. This is where we have to understand, and Steve says it all the time, I say it all the time, pay me now or pay me later. You know, if we don't treat these people, something as simple as hypertension, where we can treat for pennies a day, and if they don't have the insurance and they don't get the treatment in the doctor's office and the medications, and they come in with a stroke, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars of aftercare and care for that stroke and rehabilitation. So it's good that we look at it, but we have to protect these individuals because people have to understand the Affordable Care Act actually will help not only the health of people, but it'll help the financial health of the country.
And the individual mandate, which was directly causal with the fine is what was declared unconstitutional, the idea that you absolutely had to or you would be fined X amount of dollars. So when you take that away, anybody on the healthy younger end of the insurance spectrum has really no incentive to sign up if they think they're going to be healthy. So along with the promotion, that had to suck the numbers down, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, these, like you said, the young, healthy people. Also, you have the people that were living paycheck to paycheck already. And they, even though their subsidized was all the way up to, like, they only had to pay $50 a month, that was still $50 they didn't have.
Yeah, they didn't have, right?
Correct. So now they're thinking, well, I'm not going to get fined, and I need this money just to have, my family eat. So it was a very tough time and very bad timing for that to come out.
And here's the deal. Fix it. You know, it's what Justin just said, what you just said. Now you have an opportunity to take a long examination on this, not blow it up, take the parts that don't work and fix it. You know, one of the conversations Doc and I had, was it 4 years ago now? Five, whatever it was when ACA first came into play, was this is not necessary, because if you go and you fix Medicare and Medicaid and you take as much fraud out of it as you could possibly find, there's your health care program. But instead of dealing with that huge government bureaucracy that already existed, another one was created. Well, it's the law now, and more people do have health insurance. You can't just blow it up. And the problem the Republicans made is this repeal and replace. Well, there was no replace. And right now, there still is no replace. So all it is politics, Doc.
Yeah, it is 100%. And another thing that people probably don't understand and don't even know is the concept of public charge. And what happens here is people that are going through the normal immigration process that are here in this country, that are working, that are providing for their families, right now some of them still need help with insurance, and they get the subsidy just like any other citizen would. And what the Trump people have said is, hey, you know what, we're going to take public charge into consideration at the time of immigration. And what that means is that if you're taking support from the government, you may not be allowed in the country to stay as a permanent legal resident. So now we're seeing those individuals who are afraid to sign up, which is devastating to the health of them and their family.
Is that just a short-term financial gain? Is that a political gain? Is that a lobby from the insurance company? What is doing that to go that way with that policy?
No, I think that's Trump saying, hey, you know what, if you're going to come to this country, you better be able to sustain yourself and with no support from the federal government whatsoever.
Yeah, that's, but here's the short-sightedness. Doc, you've said this a million times. This pay me now or pay me later piece is absolutely true, because you don't turn people down. So if you have people, whether they're citizens or not, who come into an emergency room at any of the Northwestern hospitals, they will be cared for, as they will at other hospitals as well. That's what drives costs up, right? When people can't go to a regular doctor, right? And you pay the pay through the nose. So people going, well, I'm not going to have my tax dollars pay for these non-citizens. You're paying more. Your health insurance is going through the roof.
Absolutely. Costs are going to continue to go up. Hospitals will continue to have bad debt and figure out how that they can sustain to have the newest technology for those in the community that are going to come to these hospitals for care. You want that hospital to have the newest and the best staff. Well, you know what? Financially, it's going to be a strain on some of these hospitals.
651. Let's talk kids when we come back, okay?
Yep.
What are you going to say?
Every time he reads that, I hear Kelsey Ballerini's song, Divs. I got divs on your lips. That's what I keep waiting for somebody to sing it.
Kelsey Ballerini reminds me of Saturday Night Live. She wasn't on it this week. She just does. SNL had a great show this week, it was a Trump-centered tweet storm.
I don't understand why he did that. We can talk about it later.
We'll take it up with Ryan Noble.
It's very non-Trumpy.
Dr. Kevin Most rejoins us, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. So, Doc, Super Joe is off for the rest of the holidays, and Curtis is in to produce the program. He's a great guy, and he does a really nice job. But he's obviously looking to stab Joe in the back because he had his mother make cookies and baked goods for us this morning. And I'm here to tell you, Curtis, after trying them, I like your chances.
Thanks.
I like your chances. Joe could be out.
Where are these cookies? Am I out?
They're in the newsroom. There's cookies and peanut butter, chocolate chip biscotti.
Curtis is great. Yeah.
Both of them are good. I can attest to that.
Joe's mom used to make some stuff.
She doesn't cook for us like she used to, and I don't like Joe's chances. So, Doc, I don't know about you, because you literally manage thousands of people, the suck up for you must be unbelievable. Is your office this time of year just filled with bottles of hooch?
Yeah, hooch, steaks, yep, everything. It's full to the rafters. No, it's not at all. We don't accept those things, so we kind of have a policy here that we don't do that.
Oh, that's good news for me, because I got you a bottle of Mad Dog 2020 I was going to drop off later, and I didn't want it to be with all the others. Let's talk about kids, because that's rightfully most of our number one concern in life. Last week we talked about Christmas gifts. We talked about screen time, and 60 Minutes talked about it, right?
Yeah, they did. You know, there's a very big study that's being put on by the National Institute of Health, and it's kind of interesting. It's a study that started about 5 years ago, and they were going to initially look at the impact of drugs and alcohol on adolescent brains, and now they've expanded that to more environmental issues, which includes screen time. I think that probably the thing that's most fascinating is if I asked you what the guidelines were, what the American Academy of Pediatrics puts forward for what their recommendation is on screen time, I think you'd be blown away.
I wouldn't have any idea. I mean, I would think a couple hours a day would be fine. What do they say?
So under the age of 18 months, the only screen time that a child should have is video chatting.
That's it. Hi, Grandma.
That? Yep.
All right. Well, and after 18 months?
18 to 24 months, you know, go ahead and introduce some screen time, but only when you're with them so that you can explain what they're watching.
Mm-hmm.
Ages 2 to 5, an hour a day, but again, be with them so that you can discuss and answer any questions that they have.
But, Kevin, is this also not just device screen time, but like television screen time, or are those separate?
All of them? Nope.
It's TVs, DVDs, computers, tablets, smartphones.
Because we will make Patrick stop playing Fortnite to come up and watch TV. So that's just one screen to the next, right?
Exactly. Well, it is, but there's a difference there. Because when they're playing Fortnite, it's by themselves and they're focused on that. If you come up and watch TV with the family, then there's family interaction there. There's conversation. Yeah. And there's more
of... A little bit
too
much conversation for my liking during the TV.
Sometimes
watching.
There is, I'm sure.
The study, does it look into adult screen time as well?
It does. So University of Michigan is looking into adult screen time, and probably one of the biggest things that they're showing there is we have to remember that kids mimic adults' activity. So if you text in the car and your kid's in the car watching you, it's okay for him to do that. Mm-hmm. If you text while during at dinner or answering emails, it's showing him that work is more important than he is or she is. So very
if you
important.
Shoplift, it's okay if they shoplift. Yeah,
correct. Yeah, but with social media in this, we have to realize that this is why kids are starting to mimic what we do. It's okay for us to be at work 24/7. It's not. You know, children need that social interaction in that time. So a lot of the recommendations coming out, not only from the Academy, but from University of Michigan, have dead zones. Have areas where you come in this room, there's no social media, there's no nothing. At dinner time, put it down. In the cars, put it down. Think about when we grew up, Steve. You went on a car trip. We all didn't have our phones listening to music and answering emails and texting, right?
Imagine how long the cord would have been.
We had to talk.
Right.
We had to interact.
Right.
So
or
really
not talk, in the case of my car rides.
But we're concerned about the social interaction and what kids are learning and how they're learning to interact with others when it's a lot of too much screen time and media time.
You know, and it goes with a study we saw last week about millennials and their phones.
Yeah.
And it's another major university study that said the number one fear millennials have, and I'm only slightly paraphrasing here, when their phone rings, is that somebody could be on the other end.
The other line. It's Freddy Couples.
They do not, exactly. They do not want to talk on the phone. It's the right. number one thing they stress out and have anxiety about. And, sorry, that creates a generational problem with interpersonal communication. It just does.
It does. And I think... Hopefully parents will hear this and think about it and say, you know what, I do need to spend more time talking to my child. The studies have shown that kids have more behavioral issues if they don't interact well. So, I mean, this is something that's teaching them for the future. And unfortunately, these kids are going to be the future of taking care of us.
Yeah, and I've long had a theory, 15 minutes per day per kid. Quality time, a minimum of 15 minutes per day per kid. You'll know more about your kid's life. I'm talking about focus time. You're not focused on anything but the kid. The kid's not focused on anything but you in 15 minutes per day. And more shut up and listen than talk and talk to. Just try it. I guarantee it works. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. The only thing stopping us from being healthier is not listening to what Doc said. And you can get all of his notes on today's segment as well when the podcast is posted in, well, mere minutes at WGNradio.com. And Doc, I will not be here next Monday. I'll talk to you off the air, obviously. But
he's off as well.
Very Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, same to you and all the listeners. And thanks for giving me an opportunity to talk about health care all year.
Thank you. And when are you headed for North Carolina?
The 27th.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Merry Christmas, buddy. I'll talk
to you
soon.
You got it, man. Talk to you later.
That's Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And I think we can all agree, what a jerk he turned out to be, huh?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Impossible.
Telling me how much screen time I can have.
I know.
He's just the best. He's the best.
He is the best.
We'll come back with your headline, or actually the news, in just a second from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And Dave Schwann in for Steve next.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
7:13. And Dan Hampton joins us, sponsored, of course, by our friends at ChevyDriveChicago.com. And, Hamp, I know I speak for you when I say this. Thanks to Chevy for another great year as well.
Absolutely. You know, we're, what, 10 days out from Christmas, and who would have thought that the Bears would be bearing gifts this holiday season?
Well, come on, Hamp. You remember I was the only guy back in May, June, and July that said, guaranteed playoff, they're going to beat the Packers at Soldier Field. You remember I called that?
Of course you did. Yeah, and then I revived you with a cold breath.
That's right. It is pretty great. And if Nagy's not coach of the year, then we need a full investigation.
Well, I got to tell you, it truly is an amazing transformation. Think about a year ago. We were talking about, you know, a half full Soldier Field, apathy, everything concerning the Bears, it was a downer. And now, you know, the Bears, we're rocking around the Christmas tree while in Green Bay it's silent night. So who would have thought? 1 year, just 1 year, and you got to give a lot of credit to the coach. He, you know, hey, there's so many things. The hidden hand I was talking about yesterday, you know, Khalil Mack, keeping Vic Fangio, the offensive line coming together. I didn't realize that the offensive line has only had three holding calls on them all year, one of them yesterday, wow, with Cody Whitehair. I mean, so many parts of this football team are playing good. Hey, don't tell them now, but hey, they're going to hurt some people's feelings in the playoffs.
Well, here's the thing, Hamp. Justin and I were talking off the air this morning, and I look around the NFC. I mean, you can look at both conferences, but let's just, for our purposes, talk NFC. The one team that's out there is New Orleans. I mean, the Bears have already beaten the Rams. I think the Rams now have fallen on hard times. I don't look out there and see a team the Bears can't beat in the playoffs. He can't. There are years when you can't say that, but I think this year is different.
Well, we used to say, you know, a defense travels, a pass rush is the great equalizer. All those things that we used to talk about, hey, guess what? You can apply them to the Bears today. They have the components to be able to match up with anyone. Of course, we're all concerned about, you know, the fact, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, and you could say, oh, well, he had a very high rating as a quarterback. We all know what we see. We see the kid missing throws. We know that he's got to improve. But if he has a good game and he continues to avoid some of them, you know, the turnovers, you can beat the Saints. The Saints are, they're just like any other team. They have weaknesses. If you exploit them, things can happen that put you in a position to win games.
Hamp, you know, I'll play the contrarian here. I have a question, but I also, you know, I'm so happy and ecstatic for the Bears to be clinching the NFC North. Yesterday, our coach of the year, Matt Nagy, made some questionable calls, including a fake punt at midfield that seemed to turn the tide and give the Packers life. This has been somewhat of a consistent issue for this coach, making head scratching calls in the second half of games that can change the momentum. Is there a worry that we could get burned by a better team at some point on some of these aggressive calls?
Well, you'd like to think that in certain games or matchup situations, he wouldn't do that. But in the post game, he said, hey, that's who we are. That's who I am. He's being him. And he kind of told you, hey, that's who I want to be. And our team is going to be like that. We're going to be defiant. We're going to take chances. We're going to, you know, the great Ed Obradovich says, hey, it's a dink and dunk offense with a trick bag capacity that, you know, you never know what you're going to get down on the goal line at the 50-yard line. But remember this, he was never a head coach anywhere, anytime. So all these kind of things, he'll have to kind of let him run through the gamut and get him out of his system, because when you're playing Madden, and I never played a video game in my life, but, you know, when you're playing Madden, you're like the head coach, and you get to call the plays, or you get to, you know, run the offense. Well, he's kind of playing Madden right now, and he's trying to figure out, you know, what he can get away with and what he better avoid. And yesterday, two bad calls. The the wildcat and the you know fake punt, we could have done without.
I was surprised to see Ditka, who's recovering from a heart attack, be out in the flat for a pass. I didn't even know Ditka was activated. I didn't know he was eligible. I mean, come on. Dave.
All right, so, you know, it's a little bit like some of the stuff we saw when Joe Maddon first came to the Cubs. And granted, Maddon had already managed, but he came in with, you know, the petting zoo on game day and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think as a player, I think these guys like trick plays. Yeah. I think they enjoy it. It's not run-of-the-mill stuff.
I like them when they work.
Well, you do like them when they work. Now, here's the thing, Hamp. There's this feeling. I was thinking about this the other night. The 1984 Bears had a great year. They went 10-6, went out, played San Francisco in the NFC Championship game, and lost after winning in Washington. Is sometimes a team kind of gels. Maybe they're a year ahead of schedule, and maybe they're not expected to be where they are. But you were part of that 84 team. You were a year ahead. Do you have the sense that maybe this year, this team is sort of coming on a year early? I mean, Steve, we probably saw with the Blackhawks in 2009.
No question about it.
They were a year away.
Well, the Cubs are a good example, too, as you said. Because
15.
The Cubs should have been a year later.
Yep.
Maybe two.
Well, I think your point is, you know, good teams not only have to learn how to come together, but they have to learn how to win and how to play well when they have to. I think we're seeing that on this, you know, on this last month of the football season. We said when the Minnesota Vikings came to town, they won the division a year ago. We have to show them, hey, we mean business. We did. We took care of Detroit 2 games. And then when the Rams came to town 8 days ago, nobody saw the way our defense would systematically take them apart. And now, beating Green Bay and beating the Wicked Whips and sending Aaron Rodgers back north with the loss, I mean, we haven't seen this kind of stuff in a long time. And you're exactly right. That 1984 team, I told the story about, you know, the fact we won the division for the first time in 14 years. And it was like a whole new concept. Hey, the Bears are no longer, you know, bad news Bears. We're good news Bears. Well, it's been 8 years since they won the division, and now we can say, yes, not only are we the champs of the NFC North, but we mean business and we want more. And I got to tell you, they, you know, coming off of that Ram, humiliation, I could have kind of seen this team letting down a little bit. They didn't. They took care of business, and now we got 2 games to go before we find out who and where we're going to have to, go to work.
And maybe a bye? Huh? Maybe,
oh, yeah.
Maybe at least one home playoff game? Huh? Huh? How about that?
But again, every week, you know, the 49ers, I believe they beat Seattle yesterday. I mean, there's no free lunches. You got to take care of business. But if we get to 12-4, hey, let's see where the chips fall
and
where we have to play.
12-4, you would have been a mental patient if you predicted 12-4 back in August.
12-4
is exactly right. I mean, CTE would be, three letters you'd be saying an awful lot of.
Just crazy.
You're suffering.
Just crazy. Well, but here's the thing. I don't care how you feel about the Bears. I don't care how you feel about the Bears, Hamp. The Bears as a winning team is great for this city.
It truly is. But more importantly, the way they are winning. In the Chicago style of great defense and tough-nosed, hard-nosed football. And like the great LB says, hey, it's a magical year. Don't question it.
Yeah, listen, when OB says magic, I just smile. That's all. That's all. Just makes me happy. Listen, you guys sounded great as always, and we'll catch up later in the week and continue this ride. Thank you, Hall of Famer.
All right, buddy. Let's enjoy the magic.
There you go. About it. Dan Hampton, the little hamster. You had a question for Dave?
Yeah. Is there any stats? I wasn't sure how if Hamp knew these type of information, but on clinching early and then your success in playoffs?
Oh.
Like, is there a correlation clinched early and then all go downhill? Or, you know, do you know?
Well, I mean, there are theories. I'm sure there are statistics. I can try to find
Let's get
that.
Your best people on that.
Correlation
and also comparative stats and a spreadsheet on if you rest players, how you do in the playoffs. And when you come back to the playoffs,
you will have that by 9 o'clock.
I
will say really quick: this could be just a season of Christmas for the Bears if they do run the table. And let's say that the Rams falter and the Bears get a bye, they will have to beat the Vikings in Minnesota. If they beat the Vikings in Minnesota, it's a good chance that will knock them out of playoff contention. So they will have knocked the Packers and the Vikings, win the division, and get a bye.
It's a 7-10 split twice.
There's still a lot of fun in this regular season
That's
left
crazy.
To have. So.
Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Just a few minutes away from Dave Schwann, who's in for Steve Grzanich. And what do you have? Joining us on the phone is our most valuable person on the planet from Cornerstone Shelter, doing a little community outreach here, and with good reason. We welcome Lyda Jackson. Good morning, Lyda.
Good morning.
Thank you for doing what you do every day.
Oh, you are so welcome. It is such a privilege to be able to serve people who are in need.
And it's a privilege to be able to help you promote it. So you need people to help wrap gifts, right?
Absolutely. We here at Cornerstone, we are a shelter for single adults as well as families with children. And we're trying to do Christmas for over 120 children.
Wow.
And just think, you know, many of your listeners, as well as myself, are parents. And just imagine, you know, being homeless at Christmas time and not being able to provide a present for your child. Well, we have been very privileged with many generous donors, and now we need Christmas elves to help sort and wrap and that, and we have sign up on our website.
All right, so give them the website.
It is www.ccolife.org/volunteers.
All right, we're going to put that link up for people who are driving and you know, couldn't write it down or whatever, so we'll put that link up as soon as we're done here. At Cochran Show on Twitter, Steve Cochran Show on Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else.
Thank you so much.
Well, of course. And Lyda, we know how busy everybody is this time of year. And there's people who are going, I don't even have time to wrap my own presents. Well, Lyda and all of the folks that work there now and the volunteers she already have, they have Christmases they have to take care of, too.
Right.
And this is a great way to step up and a great way to pay it forward. This isn't going to cost you a bunch of money. I mean, if you want to donate, by the way, feel free. That's a great call, too.
Absolutely. Always in need.
Your money's more than welcome.
Absolutely.
You were going to say?
One of the things that we still are in need for is gifts for teenagers. A lot of times people think of Christmas and they think of a nice stuffed animal for, you know, for a little boy or girl. But just imagine, we have quite a few teenagers as well who are homeless with their families. And we try to provide a Christmas for them as well. And possibly the most practical thing is a gift card. We are welcoming those as well.
Great work by you. That's why you're the most valuable person on the planet. And let's give her two or 300 Lou Malnati's pizzas, and then we'll try to explain it later. all right, Lyda, Merry Christmas. Hold on for me.
Merry Christmas to you.
I think it's so nice that they're thinking about the wrapping part of it. Because as a kid, if you were just handed a toy, that doesn't feel like Christmas.
No.
But to actually take the extra step of making it feel like that's the surprise element that really makes it feel special.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and wrapping is so great when they get to tear it open.
Yeah.
It's not like in a bag, you know.
But it is time consuming. So
yeah, wrap them.
Yeah.
Now, see, I really suck at wrapping.
I'm awesome. I'll
so
wrap anything.
I could just give money, right?
You get better at rapping by doing the rapping, Steve.
Is that right?
And I will say that to Justin as well, who claims that the ship has sailed on him learning to rap.
I have to say, I wrapped a bunch of presents this week, and it was fun to watch. I had Miles take the lead, and Miles showed me how to do it. A lot of it was like flipping it over that whole bit.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot involved.
Never knew that in my life.
Flip and fold, fold and flip. By the way, totally separate deal here, but Miles was great.
Yeah.
Miles on Friday stepped up to be young George Bailey.
Yes, he was great. He was very excited.
Taking some physical heat from Mr. Gower.
It's a very strange scene, too.
Yeah, it was
played
strange.
By a clearly drunk
my
Lou
husband
Manfredini.
Questioned that writing. He said, this is awkward, you know, but Miles was a performer. Dave,
Miles
you're,
was great.
You're a good rapper?
Is that no, I'm not. It's one of those things, if I'm ever asked, what's one thing you wish you could do better? I wish I could rap gifts.
I know.
So I'm thinking, Steve, that maybe what we need to do here is have a gift rapping class.
That's
I think Mary could lead it.
Miles could lead it.
Yeah. Mary and I, just like when we did Fitted Sheets,
yes,
we could
exactly.
We can do rapping.
Do we have any rapping paper
oh,
here?
That'll be fun.
I don't think so.
It's our last day together.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll put it on. We'll start working early in 2019, so we're ready for the holiday season.
Yeah, we'll just every month. Come back with the headlines in a second, and then Ryan Noble's. Oh, we got a lot of Trump. Now, before you reach for the radio and try to see what B96 is doing this morning, let me explain to you. You need to hear it, and some of it you may not believe. Some of it you may have already heard. But you need to hear it. That's all. Let's all be responsible grown-ups and be part of the solution. The headlines first. That's next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Our friend Ryan Nobles from CNN. Ryan, I know that we're getting close to the holiday here, so before we jump in, Merry Christmas to you and your family and your lovely wife, who we never get to talk to and we like better than you. I hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah, same to you guys. I always want to thank you for having me on every week. I feel
an extended
part of this family, and I appreciate all the listeners in Chicago every Monday morning. So Merry Christmas to everybody listening, and Merry Christmas to you and your team.
Let's start here. Donald Trump, the standard operating procedure of how the Trump lies work is first, deny it happened completely. There's no way it possibly happened. Second, say maybe it happened. Third, say, okay, it did happen, but it wasn't illegal. And fourth is get indicted. Are those the four steps? I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, that would appear to be what could be in the offing for the president, or at least it seems as though more and more people close to him are getting indicted, convicted, and ultimately pleading guilty. It was interesting. I was thinking about the way the president handles all of this today, and one of the big ways that the president tries to win the public relations game in aspects like this is he tries to distract, right? So he wants to talk about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, these FBI agents that were caught sending text messages critical of the president. He spends a lot of time talking about Hillary Clinton. And what I find interesting about the president's tact in this is that he wants you to ignore the mounting level of evidence that's pointed in his direction and in the direction of his associates. But at the same token, he wants you to kind of connect all these loosely affiliated dots with his political enemies and then come up with some sort of conclusive conspiracy theory, and he really wants you to believe it. So he's like, ignore everything that's happening over here. This doesn't matter. But take a look at all this stuff over here, and you've got to believe that this is the biggest problem this country is facing. I just don't know how you can do both things, but this is one of the ways that he's been successful in kind of winning a PR battle, at least with that limited scope of ardent supporters that he has across the country.
Yeah, the 35% or whatever the number is today. I am glad that he finally called out the poor journalism on Saturday Night Live. It's just crazy. A tweet yesterday, he talked about the mass conspiracy against him and lumped in Saturday Night Live with NBC News and CNN and every other news organization and suggested that it could be illegal and that there should be court action taken against him. Listen, you know what he ought to do? He ought to go and go, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. You know how many people get behind him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what's funny about that is I wish I could remember the person that tweeted this because they deserve credit for it. But they're like, I'm just waiting for him to tweet that Weekend Update is fake news because that would be the ultimate cherry on top of this Sunday. But, we laugh and joke about these comments that the president makes. And to a certain extent, we're not even taking them seriously anymore. But it's dangerous, right? I mean, he's suggesting that one of the fundamental tenets of the American democracy, the freedom of speech, should be called into question and hauled into court. You know, he suggested that the Saturday Night Live writers should be hauled into court, which is just a very, very sketchy and weird thing. And to your point about if he handled it differently, it may actually be beneficial to him. I think back to George H.W. Bush, who would invite Dana Carvey to the White House to do the impression of him, and they became friends later in life. I mean, such a different way to handle the situation, and I think that endeared President Bush to his supporters and people that weren't even his supporters, and President Trump couldn't handle it more differently.
Two more surreal moments this weekend. One was Rudy Giuliani on the Sunday talk shows getting aggressive, but also when brought up about the president's lies, said, yeah, well, he wasn't under oath. In other words, it's okay for him to lie. That was an amazing moment. And then one other tweet moment from the president. Michael Cohen only became a rat after the FBI did something which is absolutely unthinkable and broke into an attorney's office like they had never done before. Why did they break into the DNC? The FBI, under the watch of the President of the United States and the Justice Department, doesn't break into anybody's office. They get a warrant based on probable cause, and they go in. But the most amazing part of that tweet to me is anybody that's ever watched an episode of The Sopranos, let alone is the President of the United States, knows when you call somebody a rat,
they have info.
They're telling the truth. Yeah. That's what you're upset about. They're outing you for telling the truth.
You're not worried about rats lying in general. That's usually not the problem. And the other thing that Rudy Giuliani said over the weekend, which was just incredible, was that it's not a crime unless someone's been murdered or hurt or something along those lines, which people pointed out that when Rudy Giuliani was mayor of New York and he implemented very tough law enforcement programs, that certainly wasn't the standard when he was, you know, hauling in a lot of people and putting them in jail. So there's no doubt that Rudy Giuliani's view on all of this has changed over time. And I just think that the president's in a posture here. And Rudy Giuliani tipped his hand on this a long time ago. More than a year ago, he said that this was a political fight for the president. This is not a legal fight. This is all about making the environment as toxic as possible heading into the Democrats taking over Congress. And what the president is doing is he's asking the American people to take sides, because he doesn't want the impeachment process to go easily. He wants it to be bloody. And he, you know, kind of views himself as being already beaten up pretty well in this process. And all that stands to benefit here is him beating up Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats if they try and go down the impeachment road. And I think that's exactly why you see him taking the tactics that he currently is.
Justin, what's the movie you want to see badly, the political movie that's out right now? With
Vice.
The good casting, Vice.
Vice, yeah.
So when this becomes a movie, who's playing our Giuliani and our Trump? What's our casting going
to
be here?
Giuliani has to be Paul Giamatti, because Paul Giamatti gets all of those jobs.
He'd be great in that spot. Yeah.
I don't know who would play Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with Trump is that he's become such a caricature, and everyone's got an impression of him.
Yeah.
That. You know, but it's almost one of those things where I think that, you know, if when the movie of this administration happens, there's got to be a minute for us to take a breath and kind of forget about it. I think that's why a movie like Vice is so popular right now, is because, you know, we hadn't thought about George W. Bush and Dick Cheney in a long time.
Time and space.
It'll be gives us another opportunity to look at it with fresh eyes.
Exactly. And the Trump movie will be in a couple decades, so it's got to be one of these young British actors that'll get the job.
The
question for you, Ryan, in this week is a big one for government shutdowns and border security. Democrats and Nancy Pelosi have said you don't have the votes to get anything passed. You're going to have to come to the table and compromise. Even Trump's own party, the Republicans in Congress, are head scratching about lack of leverage in this negotiation.
Yep.
Once again, it's a game of political chicken, which the president seems to be really good at. So here we go.
Right.
I mean, you have to take it seriously that he will shut down the government.
I mean, we're 4 days away, and there's no indication that a deal is in the offing. I mean, they're not even close. You know, and here's the thing. The president doesn't have any leverage in terms of votes, but the one thing that he has leverage in is kind of the way he handles this, like the Joker would handle a situation with the Batman. You know, some men just want to see the world burn. You know, President Trump isn't afraid to take some lumps if it means getting to his ultimate goal. And if you watched his top advisor, Stephen Miller, over the weekend, he seemed pretty insistent that the White House was not going to budge unless they get $5 billion for a wall. Well, I got to tell you, there's no Democrat that's going to vote for $5 billion in wall funding, even if it means shutting down the government. And here's another interesting threat that I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to. Phil Mattingly, Claire Foran, our Capitol Hill team pointed this out this morning. You know, we are in a situation where there is a whole crop of lame duck Republicans who are retiring or resigning their posts at the end of the year, who basically, you know, sent in their mail and said, we're done. you know, not only are the Republicans in a difficult spot because they might not just have enough physical Republicans to vote on this, a lot of them have decided they're done with their term in Congress, and they're not going to show up for a vote, even if it means the government being shut down. So that's an even higher bar that the president needs to cross if he ultimately wants to wrap this thing up by Friday. I mean, I think there's a really good chance that this extends into Christmas. I think the best hope that the American people have right now is that they do some sort of two-week short-term thing and get it into the new year. Of course, the problem for the president there is that's when you hand the keys over to Nancy Pelosi, and that those negotiations become even a bit more difficult. This is a big deal. I mean, Friday, the biggest travel week, the Department of Homeland Security is included in this shutdown package. This is not something we should be ignoring. This could be a big, big problem this week.
Last question, because the three culpable, well, there are five culpable here, including Pelosi and Schumer. But the fact that Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan have said nothing about the president's meltdown in the last week and these legal actions that have been taking place with verifiable proof and evidence to support it is just outrageous. And Paul Ryan, of course, said nothing as well about Scott Walker's gutless move this weekend to limit the powers of the incoming governor who beat him. So what is the word in Washington about McConnell and Ryan, and why are no Republicans stepping up to criticize them?
Well, Paul Ryan is done. I mean,
yeah, but he's not. He's not done until he's done. He still holds that power.
In his mind, he's done. You know, he's doing his farewell address. You know, they're going to release like a 3-part video series about his effort to fix the tax code that's coming out at some point today. He's going to give his farewell address on Wednesday. The idea that he's going to get engaged in these back and forth political battles is just a fantasy. And as for Mitch McConnell,
but Ryan, it's still gutless. It's absolutely gutless for not to step up.
Well, I mean, I think that the book on Paul Ryan is going to be when you see kind of a long term game that Paul Ryan is playing with the hope of this all settles down. The Trump era is in the rearview mirror. It could be 20 years down the road where he's going to attempt to reinsert himself into American politics and say, hey, remember me? I gave you this great tax cut. You should vote for me for president. And the question is, you know, when the book is written on the Trump administration, what role did Paul Ryan play, and how is that going to impact any hope he has of ever being president? Because I still believe, no matter what he says, that's something he still holds in the back of his mind.
What do you want for Christmas?
What do I want? You know, I really want to put a basketball hoop on my new house that we just bought a couple of months ago. So that's what I told my wife I want.
That's great.
I'm not hopeful that that's going to be under the tree from Santa, but
Well, that's my
long-term goal.
If there's a giant post and a basketball hoop under your tree, that's probably not a good thing. You want it outside.
Do you attach
Ryan?
It to the garage, or is it a post in the driveway?
They don't do that.
I want to put it on top of my garage.
Yeah.
I think, you know, right? I want to go old school with that.
No.
You want to damage the siding on the side of that.
No, you do not, Ryan.
No, you want to put a pole
up. If I was your wife, I would not. You want
a concrete foundation and a pole.
And now they make them where you can adjust them higher and lower based on how big your kids are.
I like Ryan's thinking.
You can do that with the one that I'm looking at that I would put right above my garage.
What is it, Nerf?
The way my driveway works, it kind of slopes down, so I need as much flat space as possible. And the most surface area I have is right underneath the garage door, so that's what I'm looking at. I you know, listen, Mary, I've researched this. this isn't something I thought about in the back here.
Merry Christmas, buddy. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks, Ryan. A great holiday. I appreciate being on with you, and enjoy the holiday.
Thank you as well. Sponsored by TSA PreCheck and sponsored by Apt Electronics. The hour continues, and
when Ryan sells his house in 20 years, some woman's going to be like, why did they put this basketball hoop on this garage?
No, they're going to be like old school. He's going to up the value of the house.
Sorry, John DeCoste and Tim Benker are here. We're spending some time this morning off the air getting ready for the New Year's Eve show. John, let's plug tickets. How do people get them?
You can. It's really easy. Just go to Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E. .com.
I think there's not many seats left, so if you're going to do it, you should act soon.
Yes.
It's a great Christmas gift. It's a great Hanukkah gift. It's a great Kwanzaa gift. It's a great birthday gift.
And in order for me to be on the show, John said I had to buy 12.
So. That's the only way you're getting in.
Well, full price.
Yeah, that's full. Absolutely right. I noticed a
Mary
checklist.
Mary Sandberg is coming this year.
Oh, no.
I noticed.
Yeah.
Oh, please, do I have to?
No, I'm going to be at Notre Dame.
I'm going to be
somewhere.
Notre Dame for the outdoor game, so I can't.
I wanted to add three things to our rider for the green room.
Yeah.
Nachos, a golden retriever, and a sousaphone.
Nachos.
Can we get those reasons?
I got the sousaphone. Why the golden retriever?
Well, I love dogs.
That's so weird. Yeah, nachos done.
And golden retrievers are great. Mm, plus, at any point, if any of the jokes don't land, we just send a golden retriever out, and the audience goes, "Ah!" Oh,
actually, we should bring Abigail retriever. Should come that night.
Yeah, it's
every time. Just have her, just lift her up.
I already got that covered with pictures audience. Of Abigail that I just put up in the background.
That's the best.
Happy birthday to Abigail Grace Cochran. She is 3 years old today, and yes, cuter than ever. And listen, I understand your grandkids may be great. They're not Abigail, but they may be great. So I wish them a happy birthday as well, whatever their birthday may happen to be. We'll come back in a second. Speaking of the show, Rocky LaPorte will join us.
Rocky's going to join us in just a little bit.
Something wrong with him. Dean has the entertainment, more on entertainment coming up, and we'll get your news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, honey, kiss me, good.
Live to Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
It's me. It's you.
That's
it's
right.
More
and,
entertainment.
And Rocky LaPorte.
Rocky LaPorte
will be joining us in just a few minutes.
If there is only some way I could see him sometime in the next couple of weeks for some end of year laughs, that would be fantastic. That
was New Year's Eve.
That would make my New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's New Year's Eve. So if you go to Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, Eventbrite.com, you get tickets right there. But Dean, you don't have to because you're going to be on the show. You're going to be on stage on that show. Now, I was just explaining some of the things I'll need. Do you have a green room rider that you wanted to let us know demands for backstage?
Red M&Ms only.
Hold on. Red M&Ms.
That's easy. I can do that.
Evian water. 60.
Red Evian?
The regular. The regular's fine. I don't want to be a diva.
Does it have to be from the A&P?
Evian. From AMP. Yeah. Anything exotic?
Good luck finding one. Yeah. Oh, and I like octopus before I go on stage.
Oh, yeah.
I like grilled octopus before I go on stage.
Would deep fried calamari be okay?
No. No.
Okay, grilled octopus.
Big difference.
Do we need to catch the octopus from the oceans of Downers Grove?
From the island of Mykonos.
Really, it's getting a little more complex.
That's usually where my rider gets a little tricky.
The Tivoli Theater, New Year's Eve, 7 o'clock. New Year's Eve for people that can't stay awake until midnight. Anybody want to win?
I don't believe I've ever heard you talk about this
before.
Hang on. Is this the first time you've
mentioned
this?
Before you give away New Year's Eve tickets.
No, Blackhawk tickets right here.
Oh,
Blackhawk.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's...
Blackhawk tickets I'm giving away. You know, you've gotten to a point lately where you're assuming I'm going to screw up. Can you need to wait for me to screw up?
I'm anticipating.
Yes. December 18th versus Nashville. Well, that'd be tomorrow night, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Here is the John DeCoste penned Hawker Riddle. Ready?
Oh.
I opened my doors in 25 as a hub for travelers to Chicago would arrive. Outside of the loop, the most ties to the town, I'm over 9 blocks long and most underground. We know what that is?
I do.
Keep it to yourself, Dave. You're not eligible.
Most ties to the town.
Open my doors in 25 as a hub for travelers to Chicago would arrive. Outside of the loop, the most ties to this town. I'm over 9 blocks long and most underground. First correct answer, you get tickets for tomorrow night's game, Ross Cochran's birthday. Hawks in Nashville.
On a side note, these are brilliant.
Listen, Dean, I think you'll back me up on this. It's rare to find a good riddle anymore because, well, frankly, it's rare that anyone would take the time to write riddles.
Right. But that one is beautifully written, though. It flows like poetry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like music.
Speaking of poetry, do you still want
words?
Do you still want a poet backstage as well?
I like. I mentioned this to John when he was on my show yesterday that I like a flautist.
Poet and a flautist. Yeah.
I don't care about the poet so much as distracting, but I do enjoy flute music. It relaxes. It takes me back to my WNUA days.
Oh, bet it does.
Relax.
You and your flute. All right. Well,
I thought he said falafel. I was way off.
Oh, do you need a falafel?
Hey, let's throw a falafel in there. Let's throw a couple, 2-3 falafels in there.
All right. Let's get Rocky in here for a second. Rocky's very, very busy. Rocky LaPorte joins us.
Rocky's trying to figure out a way to get out of doing the show now.
I know.
Rocky will back me up on this. Tim, you'll back me up on this. John, mm-hmm. as well. One of the worst things you can do to a fellow comedian is go, this guy
yes.
is the funniest yeah. guy you're ever going to see.
He's so hysterical. Wait. Wait for it.
Sets him up for yeah. complete failure. Let me tell you something. This guy, Rocky LaPorte, oh, is the funniest guy you're ever going to see. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, boss. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Don't you call me names. And I'm thrilled you're going to be back on the show. Now, you had a couple of health scares recently. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just, I'm all right, boss. I'm good. This is getting older. Stuff's rough, you know?
Now, did you go with breast implants? I know you were considering that at one point.
Just one. I just needed one.
Okay.
You know, one in his pocket.
Fine. A little lopsided there.
That's fine. Seems fine. How's the family? Y'all set for Christmas?
Yeah, everybody's good, man. And, hey, they asked me earlier about if I needed something in the rider for the green room.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
listen, I don't want no red M&Ms. I'm allergic to them. I can't have them in the building.
Oh, right. Didn't I know
problem.
That?
That's going to be a problem.
By the way, Dean, Rocky comes from a very large family. He asked for comps for everyone, which means we're moving the show to Soldier Field. So, John, say hi to Rock.
Hey, Rocky, how you doing?
Hey, boss. How are you, man?
I'm boss, you. Too? You don't know our names, do you, Rocky?
No, that's...
you know? You guys get me up at 8 o'clock in the morning. What am
what was
the Army?
What was I thinking?
Hey, dude. Hey, guy.
Hey, boss. Hey, you. Hey.
Hey, Ace.
W, on, whatever, hey, N.
Come on.
Have you met Tim?
That's what we call people.
Hey, Rocky, you know Tim Benker, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you're the only one. Hey, I was going to ask you... If you knew, if this was a surprise, are we going to do the dueling Rocky LaPorte this year?
Well, we're talking about it. Rocky has the idea. Yeah. We're going to put bar stools out at the end of the show. We're all going to sit on stools and do our favorite Rocky LaPorte jokes in your voice.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're planning on doing.
We'll see how that goes, huh?
I think he's in favor of the idea.
I think he just went full diva there, didn't he?
I'm not going to do it as myself. I'm going to do it as boss.
Yes.
As you should.
I know Dean has a French accent. I'd like to hear Dean's Rocky.
In French?
Right. Well, no.
How are you doing, boss?
Wow. It's crazy. Well, Rock, I look forward to seeing you for New Year's Eve. And as we said, tickets at eventbrite.com. We guarantee you'll have a good time. Not you, Rock. Your night may suck. But the audience is going to have a good time.
Yeah, this is good. Hey, remember the last time we were talking, I told you everybody was laughing at me. I told you I sent $50 in for the thing to try out to be Pope.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes. How'd it work out?
Everybody laughed at me. I got a call back. I had to send them another $50. And I got a call back. I'm going in Friday.
Well, congratulations. I'm sure your family's very proud.
Yeah. So you guys are going to have to be calling me something else. Different than Rocky.
Or boss.
Boss.
Or boss.
Yeah, boss.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Pope LaPorte.
Yeah. Your funniness.
All right. And you want to plug any gigs coming up before New Year's Eve, or are we your next show?
You're it, man. I took some time off, and I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, man.
Not sure. No, it's going to be great.
It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, and I got some relics. I need like 100 comps for, is that okay?
Whatever you need. Whatever you need. Hold on, Rock. Give him nothing for being on the show, because we're paying him for New Year's Eve. Dean, we'll come back with you in a second. You'll tell us about show business.
If you insist.
It's 8:20. I feel like there's a mild coup going on right now. It's 8:20, which coming up at 8:30.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard Entertainment.
Back to Dean at Channel 9, and a special guest in the studio will be joining us actually on the air for a full chunk of time here shortly. It's Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Dean said, don't screw this up.
Oh, very nice.
Mayor, would you like to say hello to Dean?
It's always nice to talk to the mayor. He was just here last week at the TV station.
Yeah, good. You guys finally got him.
Yeah. Dean?
Well, that's true. good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Dean. This is a hug. How are you?
Oh, that's
big,
very nice.
Big hug back. We're gonna go hang out on our rooftops.
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're going to go drinking on a rooftop. And now I know I can bring some rolling papers with me, too.
Oh, great.
late. Cause that's one...
Just stay away from my kids, will you?
By the way, Dean, the mayor had a lovely family trip planned, but he's changed that for New Year's Eve because he wants to come to Downers Grove to the Tivoli for the New Year's Eve show.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of fun. All right, biggest show
business. I live near him. I'll give him a ride.
How great would that be?
Is that you, my new Uber?
Dean swings by to pick up the mayor. Yeah.
Have you done your background check?
you don't want to know what's in my background.
What's the biggest show business story?
I got through FBI clearance at the White House.
That's one of the more amazing developments in D.C. history.
That's very true. A big entertainment story that just broke, actually, a few minutes ago, that Jeff Bridges is going to be getting the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Achievement Award at the Golden Globes in January.
Very cool.
January 12th. Fantastic body of work. Maybe one of the most versatile actors of all time.
The best movie of all time, Big Lebowski. But
Big Lebowski. It moved
definitely,
me.
Definitely one of the classics of all time. That's
not as good as Godfather 1, but a very good movie. Close. Different genre.
But we'll Big Lebowski, one of the great bowling movies.
Yeah, but they're right. A very limited genre, too.
You take Don Corleone and put him in some bowling shoes. Get him on.
He does have the bowling shirt already, though.
Yeah. I think that was Godfather 3. Nobody talks about that one. What else? I was going to ask you about Saturday Night Live. I thought, in a really up-and-down season, I thought Saturday Night was brilliant.
Yeah, I didn't see the whole show. I saw bits and pieces of it because I was out, but I caught up with it. But I was mostly focused on this incredibly disturbing story about Pete Davidson, who earlier in the afternoon on Saturday posts an Instagram saying that he no longer wants to be on this earth, that he's tried hard and he doesn't think he can do it anymore. He said, I've been doing my best to stay here for you. We don't know who he was referring to, but I don't know how much longer I can last. All I've ever tried to do is help people. Pete Davidson has had a history of mental health issues. He's talked about the incredible attack that has come upon him since his breakup with Ariana Grande. Apparently, it's gotten worse in both online and in-person bullying from people who are apparently fans of Ariana Grande. So we don't know what precipitated all this. I guess he's okay. The police that evening tracked him down, did a wellness check. He was fine. He even made a brief appearance.
Yeah, he went to work.
On SNL. He introduced Miley Cyrus. That's all that he did on the show. But still very disturbing. You know, you hear about these warning signs of people who are, you know, potentials for suicide, for harming themselves, and that they give all kinds of warning signs. I think this is very disturbing, and I hope that he gets some help.
Well, predisposition to depression is one thing, but then, you know, he lost his dad on 9/11. His dad was a firefighter, and it's been a rough go. So yeah, there's a lot of people that love him, so you hope he gets it together.
These fans that attack, like people like that Ariana Grande fan that then goes after Pete Davidson because they broke up, is a weird thing that's happening.
Cowards with screen names.
Yeah, like you have, you know, rivals, Steve, but you would never encourage your rivals' fans to attack a rival.
No, and if I was going to insult someone or threaten them, I'd put my name on it. And generally, I don't do that kind of thing. Yeah. So
I don't think it's the artists who are behind that.
It's the fans.
I think it's just overzealous fans. Yeah. A few years ago, we had something happen here with Selena Gomez. I asked her a question. She didn't like the question that I asked. I know you find that hard to believe that could possibly happen. Mm-hmm. But it turned into a thing online. It's a thing that went viral, and I was inundated by Selena Gomez fans. Really nasty, kind of violent threats, because, you know, for a question that she didn't like. So I can totally understand it, you know, and if you're somebody who's already in a fragile mental state and you start getting bombarded with things like this. After the Mel Gibson thing, I had violence threatened against my two little twin nephews who were just born.
Which is awful, and that was from Mel. Mayor Emanuel, you mostly get your... You don't have to read the comments online because you mostly get them on the train, I'm thinking.
Yeah. You actually, if you do politics and you run for office and you're around... You know how, I mean, if you do enough retail politics, you can pretty quickly read people's body language, friend or foe, and stuff like that pretty quickly.
But people let you know how they feel, pro and con.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, it has gotten there's a tinge more vitriolic than it was when I started running for Congress in 2002. But not that people don't care as much, but it's more vitriolic because they feel uninhibited.
But have you noticed a difference with social media? Obviously, yeah. they say what they want to say to you, and much more, like Steve said, hiding behind.
It's a haven for cowards.
There's no accountability. But if you get,
the truth, that is true. The other thing, though, is because if you're an elected official and you are out and about and don't try to recede back behind and go, people feel like they have a chance to say something to you.
They'll
and
do
talk
it there,
to, yeah. Yeah. But there's the screen, I mean, all of a sudden, everybody not only wants to offer their opinion, they want to make sure everybody else has heard their opinion.
Yeah.
And that's a different.
You know what, Dane, it's the Andy Warhol thing. You know, he said everybody get a talk show. Everybody got a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, social media. All right, thank you, Dean.
See you tomorrow. Nice to talk to you, Mayor.
See ya. Happy holidays.
Me too.
It's Dean who's picking up the mayor to take him somewhere. We'll come back with Mayor Emanuel. We'll get you headlines first on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel is here. Happy holidays to you. Last year, I think I gave you Mensch on a bench. Where's the Mensch?
He's taking a little time off right now.
To be with his family?
He's feeding the pigeons.
All right, I have a question for you, because I keep seeing these promos every 10 minutes for this Vice special on the 2008 economic collapse.
Yeah.
Your chief of staff.
No, 2008, I was a congressman.
When were you made chief?
2009. Well, I made 2008, but you take over 2009.
Okay, so who is chief when the S hit the fan?
Josh Bolton.
Oh, that's right. All right.
I was appointed by Speaker Pelosi then to be the point for the Democrats to negotiate with President Bush's Hank Paulson, lives here in Chicago, Josh Bolton.
Yeah, yeah.
And negotiate a package known as TARP. Best policy, yep. The worst politics in American history in the last 20 years.
The reason I bring it up is, what is your gut feel about the economy nationally now? I mean, the market floating around at 25,000, a little crazy.
Yeah, but here's my thing is that I believe that it's at the top and you're going to begin to see what I call the Trump slump come in. And it's going to
trademark that.
Huh?
Trademark that.
I'm doing that right now. That's right. Yeah. Trump slump.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's going to happen like a broken watch twice a day.
Was it, and I don't know that I want to know the answer to this, was it as close to global disaster as we think it was?
So we have a meeting in the Speaker's office. Senate comes over. It's House and Senate, D's and R's. The President sends Bernanke, Paulson, and SEC Chair Cox. And Bernanke opens up. We're all sitting around a conference table. The three of them are sitting together opposite everybody as we wrap around. And they say that in the next 72 hours, if we don't do something, the entire world economy will collapse.
Wow.
And go. And it was like, literally, like, well, is there another group of people that we can talk to for a second? I mean, it was like, you got to be kidding me.
Let's bring in the other people.
Actually, it's been written about, so I will say this. So Senator Judd Gregg from New Hampshire was part of the appointees on the Republican side. Myself, we were in a side room with Hank Paulson, who had a bad cold, been over in Europe, da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
He had a stress moment.
Right.
It's like Sunday night at like 11 o'clock at night. And he basically...
collapsed?
Not collapsed, but, you know, is short of breath. And Senator Gregg and I look at each other and decided, well, the market is too fragile across the globe. We're not going to tell anybody. And that room...
You know what? That's actually true. They couldn't take it.
If we announced that the Secretary Treasurer of the United States of America at this critical juncture
is hyperventilating.
So we went back in the room, he took it, got his breath and everything like that. We went back in the room, we negotiated in the next 72 hours, and people forget this. When the agreement was reached, went to the House floor, the Republicans voted it down. The market from that moment forward dropped 800 points in like half an hour. And then we... had to reassemble it, and we then did pass it, etc. And that was the first step. And I give President Bush credit for, because that's anything but free market, because it was a massive intervention in the economy by the government, contrary to principles. But it was within 72 hours to 96 hours, the world, and if you look at data, there was a 3-4 month stretch going last month of President Bush, first 3 or 4 months of President Obama, that you basically went to a small D depression. It was not a recession. The contraction of the economy, unemployment. We were getting, people forget this. Okay, so now we get 200,000 jobs added, 220,000 jobs added, 190. We were literally getting monthly 900,000 loss, 850,000 job loss. I mean, that's a, right now, that's a 1 million swing.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable what was going on. People forget it. And in many ways, the TARP, the bailout, you look at also what was done for the auto industry at the time.
Yep.
You look at what was done on the quantitative easing by the Fed. It worked. Now, it also set in place a set of politics that led to the one in 1600 Pennsylvania, the one that shall not be named at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, because I actually believed, which is what I said at the White House time, we needed Old Testament justice. Nobody from the Financial Committee was brought to
which is outrageous.
Atone for their sins.
Right.
So they got bailed out. The middle class says, you're in my pocket. You're getting all this money. Trillions of dollars. They're just seeing numbers with zeros they had never seen before in their life. And nobody, not one major banker, made it to the criminal justice.
Is there a short answer to why? Why all of those who were...
I'm going to reserve this for years.
For your own...
Yeah, but I wrote... I said then, which is why I wanted to do financial reform first, is you needed Old Testament justice.
Right.
Nothing... After the TARP and after the recession, the bailout of the banks and dealing with the Recovery Act that President Obama... That's $1.7 trillion was offered to stabilize the economy, and nobody felt there was any accountability by the people, quote-unquote, the experts and the elite upstairs. And that's why you have a middle-class revolt.
And if anything...
It makes total sense.
It does. All the dominoes fell.
Yeah. We've seen regulations rolled back as if it was the whole thing, all the bailout was a punishment on the financial industry.
Well, you got two things that I think are risky going forward. You have higher concentration than pre the financial meltdown. Higher concentration of banks, with an attempt by the banks and successful to roll back the very and not all the regulations were perfect. They needed some adjustment, but what they're doing now is going back in a way that you're bringing a level of risk in that is with a level of concentration of power that is not a good. That's a very bad cocktail. That will be served over the holiday season.
You, and again, the Vice special's coming up, but and the rest will be in your story. I don't think it's been aired yet.
You want to do that together? We'll get some popcorn and you and I just watch it together. I said, never mind.
Absolutely, great. Just put that on Instagram, please.
Wow, you have less gray. You look actually healthier.
I suggested, I sit between your knees and you do my hair, and you went, you don't have any hair. Yeah. Plan to hire 1,000 cops. Where are we?
Today, we've hired our 1,000th in the last 2 weeks, 1,000 additional police on the streets of the city of Chicago.
It's great.
And it is. And these young men and women are going through one of the most comprehensive rewrites of our training program to be better professional, better where every instance of interaction is a teachable moment. They all will have a body camera. They all will have a taser. They'll have different trainings on community policing. But we've added 1,000 police, and you can see what they're doing. You know, I will say one thing. When I was at the funeral for our lost officer.
Mm-hmm. At Mercy.
At Mercy. Mm-hmm. I stand with the superintendent, the first deputy, opposite his watch, which is in the 2nd District, kind of the Bronzeville, Kenwood community. And they're all there. Now, I've done every graduation. I must have done 30-plus graduations, shook the hands of about a little over 3,000 officers. And I'm looking at them. We're waiting for the hearse to drive up. As I'm looking at these young men in the cold, I said to the soup, these are boys and girls. I mean, these are young kids. We're giving them an incredible responsibility. For some reason, just looking at them
at that
moment,
sure,
I realize, you know, and the officer who died.
Samuel Jimenez.
Jimenez, he has two young kids. He's 27. He must have joined the academy 24, took the test. Zachariah, my son, is 21. We give a lot of responsibility, and a lot of people at very young ages decide to sign up, and we have to ensure, and that's what's happened. I ran with them on Saturday when we opened up the Lakefront Trail, the police officer cadets.
I saw some things on your Instagram of you stretching before that run.
Well, yeah, you don't want to run in the cold and not stretch. But anyway, here they these are great people. They're joining the police department. They're doing public service. They don't have to do this. They have the capacity to do other things. And I think we should give them all the support need to do the jobs that we ask them to do.
And I think, Eddie Johnson said when he was here, all the people that they hire, he has a hand in, like, a personal contact when they take the test and things like that. It's not just you put out a call and they all sign up and they get to...
We'll go speak to them today.
Yeah.
We'll all see them. And it's really, but we've hit the thousands. A lot of people said, you can't do this in 2 years. It's not possible.
Got it.
We set a mission. We set a goal. And the entire department, the training, the recruitment, and it's the most diverse class in the history of the Chicago Police Department. They're representing every section of the city. All parts of the city get to participate rather than just a few neighborhoods. And I think that's a testament to the real effort that happened. And we set a goal, and this is a public policy goal that was achieved and achieved in the time frame we committed to.
Take a break. We'll come back with more of Mayor Emanuel in just a second. And Jen Weigel is going to join us just after 9. We've got a very interesting guest at 9:10 that she has a personal area of expertise in as well. First at 8:51. Dave, what's up at 9? Mayor Emanuel's here. Justin.
Yeah, last time you were on the show, you talked about you didn't want to be a lame duck mayor. You wanted to finish out your term and actually get some of the things done. You just mentioned in a big speech, I think it was last week, about three initiatives that you were going for: legalization of marijuana, a Chicago casino, and a constitutional amendment to deal with pensions. On the casino, you mentioned going to the southeast side and a spot on the southeast side that would be open. Mm-hmm. Why not downtown? Why not at McCormick Place?
Because it would actually ruin McCormick Place.
How so?
And so, first of all, there's of the three big convention centers, Orlando, Vegas, and Chicago. Orlando's known where you take your family just for entertainment. Vegas has a different entertainment. Chicago's known as a place you come to do business, sign contracts. You meet each other on the floor. You go to restaurants. You sign two-year deals. You take people off the floor, you're going to ruin why McCormick Place works. When I became mayor, it was fifth, even though it was the largest place in the world for convention. It had slipped to fifth. We're now back to being number one again, or near number one. And we're competing for shows we lost at Vegas and Orlando. We eliminated all the doubt between labor and management. So while I have a love-hate relationship with casinos, we lose $40 million a month to Hammond. So put it 4 miles before Hammond, we'll pull all that money. That's one. So I don't want it near McCormick. You don't want to have one gain, one loss. You can have two gains rather than one gain, one loss. But again, I'm not exactly there. The second thing is, I'm also of that view as it relates to legalization. The governor-elect has called for it. If it's going to happen, my basic point is both resources go towards stabilizing police and fire and labor and municipal.
And I think everyone's with the idea of trying to find new revenue opportunities, but the question remains who's paying in. If you do a casino on the southeast side of Chicago, are you targeting working-class communities, black and brown people in that area that are going to go to that casino and spend the money?
Well, first of all, since they're going to Hammond, the reverse question is to you. Are you willing to send $40 million every month to Hammond, Indiana, those people, or capture it? Again, as I said, I have a love-hate relationship. It's happening. Should it happen in Chicago or should it happen in Hammond? Not whether it should or should not. It's just whether it should happen in Hammond or Chicago. Given that said, I think it would be an economic boon to the southeast side. It would capture that revenue so far as you dedicate it to the pensions. The same way we have done stuff on medicinal marijuana as it relates to health care and pain alleviation. On the other hand, if the governor is going to push legalization, there is revenue source. And my goal is if we need more revenue, before you ask the taxpayers for anything general, you've got to try everything else. And on the Constitution, we have two things from 1970, a flat income tax, which is I am for progressive income tax. I don't believe a 3% compounded COLA for people retiring at the age of 50, 55, while inflation is zero and current workers are taking either a pay cut with a furlough or basically minimal increase in their pay. There's nothing progressive about that. And my view is if you're going to do all the brain damage to open up the Constitution, make sure it actually has progressive principles on both sides. Now, I understand certain people won't like that, and I get that. On the other hand, it requires a level of honesty. If we were drafting a Constitution today, not in 1970 when you had hyperinflation, when you have basically deflation to zero, would you actually have a pay raise for senior citizens and workers getting no pay raise? There is nothing progressive about that. And here's, I mean, the ultimate point is we are doing something. And the reason I said this is the next mayor in 2020 has to find $276 million for the pensions, and in 2022, another $310. That's $600 million just for one thing. That means no additional after school, no additional mentoring, no additional dollars for summer jobs. If you're willing to say, we're going to give $600 to this one project, but there'll be no libraries, there'll be no after school, there'll be no summer jobs, there'll be no mentoring addition. Every budget I've had, I've increased that. I don't think that's fair to the public. We have to be able to do both. That's why I've looked at making reforms to the way they're structured, finding additional revenue that goes to Hammond, Indiana, bringing it to Chicago. On the other hand, I also, every budget, eight in a row, we increased our investments in to record highs of summer jobs, 32,000 kids, record high of after-school programs for 125,000 kids, mm-hmm. and we created a mentoring program for 8,000 young men out of whole cloth when it was zero.
Yeah, listen, you're making a great case for you keeping the job.
I don't want the job.
Well, no, I get that. But my point is the next person that steps in has got to be able to pick that ball up and run with it. And at a time where there's incredible lack of political will, what's more likely, to reopen the Constitution or there's the political will to get either marijuana or a casino done? Because as you said, you got to find the money.
Here's the thing. When I first ran in 2011, only about four or five people ran. Now you got 21 because we've done some hard things. You may not be in a great position, but if you do the hard things, people, the city will be better off. I'm proud of the progress we've made. There's stuff that still has to be built on, but when I hand off the baton, when you look at a series of things from our parks to our schools to our community colleges to the economy, the employment, we're today in a better position. We're not where we have to be, and not everybody is participating at the level you want them to, but we are not where we were in 2011 when we had 20% of the budget was out of whack. Every one of the pensions was headed towards insolvency within a decade. We had school system had the shortest school day in the United States. We didn't have full-day kindergarten, let alone full-day pre-K.
Right.
And our community colleges had the worst graduation rate in America. All that has been changed and more in one way or another to the improvement and to the upside. But we have a lot of work ahead of us.
And who gets the baton?
Whoever the voters pick. Or the Russians if they decide to play also.
Well, we know they're involved. It's great to see you. Happy holidays.
Happy and a healthy new year. Now, just one thing. We were earlier talking about Officer Jimenez. I stayed in touch with also the doctor and the pharmaceutical rep's family.
Sure.
Just everybody, remember what's important. Remember your kids, your family. Take a little time.
Yeah.
Just one step back. And this is a time, not just the holiday season, remember what's important in life.
Yeah, and take a little time over the Christmas holiday.
And I expect in 2019, rather than me giving you kale, uh-huh. you start reversing, give me kale.
Listen, I'm growing it right now.
No, that's the legalized marijuana that you're growing right now?
Different garden. Different garden. Mayor Emanuel, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Nice to see you. Back with the news in a second on CLTV and 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I saw our old friend Jimmy DeCastro today earlier. I can't place him. He was a big deal here for a long time. He's the guy that when Uptown Funk came out, exposed me to it. And obviously, it's the greatest song of all time. And I'll always remember him dancing to Uptown Funk. I actually bought him the Bruno Mars blazer.
Did he lose his back? Why was he dancing?
He's the only guy. Look, he's the only guy that's got better moves than me. Oh. That's all I'm saying. We have a special guest in studio. That voice is Jen Weigel, and Jen and I go all the way back to the Loop AM or FM?
We were on AM together.
Yeah, and that was 98?
97, 98.
97, 98, and for 10 minutes in 99.
Correct.
We had a lot of fun.
We did.
And
we always have fun together.
Yeah, so I asked you to come in and hang out on the radio, but for no small part because of our next guest, Joe McQuillan. Joe has gone through the absolute nightmare, the worst thing that can happen as a parent, losing his son. And he's written a book called My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. Now, this is something you know a little bit about.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Because you've spent the last how many years?
Well, my dad died in 2001, Father's Day 2001. Tim Weigel died of a brain tumor. I was 30 at the time,
right.
And I went on a quest
skeptical.
Totally. So I thought that people were getting ripped off who were going to psychics or mediums. So I wanted to compile this research so I could help people who were in grief, because there's nothing worse than losing someone you used to talk to every day and you can't talk to them anymore. At least you think you can't.
Right.
So, yeah, that was 2008 was when Stay Tuned came out, my first book.
And you've met Joe McQuillan. And
very weirdly how I met Joe McQuillan. It was actually, I met his wife, Sally. I was out in Denver doing research for my fourth book.
Okay.
Sitting in with Rebecca Rosen, who's a, and Sally was there because her son, Christopher, Joe's son, Christopher, had died 2 months prior. And here's a woman from Chicago talking about her son, and it was like, okay, see you later. So we left. I come back to Chicago. I interview Rebecca on my podcast, I'm Spiritual Dammit, right here on WGN.
Mm-hmm.
And Sally was listening and said, oh my gosh, that's Jen Weigel. I was in Denver with Jen Weigel. So Joe and Sally come to one of my shows at the Wilmette Theater.
Right.
And where I had Thomas John, the Manhattan medium there.
Right.
And poor Joe gets, you know, dragged down to the front row. Wasn't that right, Joe?
Well, actually, it was probably the first time in my life that I arrived somewhere early and sat in the front row.
I was so interested in that.
Yeah, it's not my style, Steve. Normally.
I understand. Believe me, I understand more than you know.
In the front row. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's how I met Joe.
And you have talked to him on your podcast, which is, I think, still posted, probably.
Yeah, right? I'm still. Yeah, go to I'm Spiritual Dammit or WGN Plus and just Google my name.
Well, Joe, you know, even though we talked a bit off air, allow me to say publicly, condolences on the toughest loss any parent could face. This was an accident that was fairly well documented at the time. But you, I assume, were not exactly the, oh, let's go talk to the psychic type either, right?
No, not at all. Steve, you know, the devastation of losing him caused me to want to find if there was any way to connect and stay in touch with him in any way. And like Weigel, if, in fact, it wasn't for real, I just wanted to check it off the, you know, check the box and move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
But I, you know, after a couple years of research, found out that it was, it's very real.
You say in the book, you feel his presence everywhere.
All the time. You know, specifically in my Jeep, I feel it when we're golfing. I love to golf.
Now, you talk about your Jeep. Is that where you guys spend a lot of time riding around again?
We connect all the time in the Jeep. And, you know, I usually have a cigar. And we listen to music and a lot of Jimmy Buffett stuff, and I just feel him. When I literally feel him, I feel like a chill on the back of my neck, and I feel next to him, and I'll just say, "Hey, pal, how you doing?" And you know, we'll have some conversations. You know, I have great meetings with him at his grave. It's his Sacred Heart, which is a beautiful grave, open 24 hours view cemetery. And I pull up a folding chair, and the dog and I hang out and talk to him.
But what I love about Joe's journey is he's a regular guy who didn't believe in any of this stuff, right? But he opens up his intuition by meditating every morning and doing all these things he never, a guy from Buffalo, sure, one of 11 kids, 10 kids, you know, would ever think of doing. But here he is doing this. And so now he gets these downloads, which I think the beauty of this is that I hope anybody listening right now who's had a severe loss can know that if they quiet their mind and they actually choose to not believe in hoo-hoo, but to actually connect with their intuition. It's something I think we're all born with. And Joe is a perfect example of someone who gets these direct downloads that he knows are not from him. Because it's Christopher's words.
Joe, you know, there's a lot about intuition that's out there. And like you said, you did your research. But a lot of this has to do with discipline, being able to understand that connection, to understand it. Intuition is with all of us, but at the same time, you have to work at it. Did you learn that through this journey, that it's not just about turning on, going, oh, I think my son is with me, that it takes clearing the mind and the discipline of clearing the mind to do so?
That's great. That was a point I really wanted to make. By the way, discipline, like sitting in the front row, is foreign to me. You know, I'm the youngest of 10 kids.
Well, you're a kid from Buffalo.
Yeah, and 10 kids. There wasn't a whole lot of discipline by that time. However, you're right. I was talking to somebody on a radio show the other day that said, you know, I don't feel my mom. And I said, well, try harder. You know, you got to put in the effort. There's a book called The Secret. It's kind of big with women, but it was a great book. And it talks about the universe, and the secret is you got to go first. Mm-hmm. You got to make the effort. You got to understand their energy level on the other side. And when I talk about the other side, it sounds a little woo-woo and new age, but the bottom line is, you know, Rumi said that goodbyes are for those who love with their eyes, because those who love with their heart and soul, there's no such thing as separation. And he said that in the 16th century. So what is New Age about what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and I would assume, just to bring it back to basics here, and that is there's got to be an incredible sense of comfort in being able to be in the place you're in now.
It's an amazing sense of comfort. You know, but Steve, this time of year is horrible
for me. Can't imagine.
This time of year is still bad for me, you know, and even with the connection that I have. And it's nowhere near a hug or an I love you or Merry Christmas, Dad. You know, that's what I want.
Of course.
But it's the only game in town, and it's as good as it's going to get. It's like a long-distance phone call instead of an in-person hug. May not be as good, but it's better than nothing, isn't it?
Can you hang around for a second?
I can hang around all day.
In the break, well, that puts you on other shows. Trust me, there's a couple shows here you don't want to do. My search for Christopher on the other side, Joe McQuillan. This is out and available wherever we get books.
Out and available, Amazon.com, in print, Kindle, and they're working on an Audible.
Oh, nice.
If you love somebody that's struggling, it's great for them, but I also think it's very uplifting. And if you need an uplifting look at how to deal with the tragedy, travesty like this, I think it's great, too. My search for Christopher, Joe McQuillan. More in a moment. What's up at 9:30? Back with Joe McQuillan. Again, the book is My Search for Christopher, on the other side. How old was Christopher when he passed?
21.
What was your favorite thing about him?
His attitude. He was sweet. He was... It was a little bit of the devil of him, and I think it comes
funny
from his mom's side of the family. He was funny, sweet, a little wild, and just adorable. You know?
Sandberg, jump in here.
I know sometimes people, when you talk about intuitives and mediums and things, they think that's in conflict with religion or something because it might be taboo. What do you say to people who think that you're trying to craft something that isn't in line with regular values?
You know, open up your heart a little bit. And I got to tell you, I can't quote scripture very often, but I will tell you, I think it's Matthew that says, Christ said to the apostles, I'll be gone for a while and you won't see me. Then you'll see me. Then I'll, you know. So he talks about this. This is nothing new. This is actually in step with Catholicism.
All the Bible, I could write books on this one because I get about five emails
a week
from people.
Well, the Bible's been written.
You know,
just so we're clear.
Yes, and guess what? It was written about 80 to 100 years after Jesus was passed, right?
By a number of different people.
And I know how we're dealing with, quote, fake news now, and we've got digital recorders and everything. So all I'm saying is I'm a huge fan of you know, I was raised Christian. I'm not knocking it. But what I feel is really important to remember is that Jesus came back from the dead, spoke to Mary. Mediumship is all throughout the Bible, and it's spoken about where great leaders and Saul are asking for guidance to get guidance from the other side. But the other thing is that we have to know it's when you put that ahead of the big one, when you put that first, you're putting anything, gypsies, seers, seekers, in front of your faith in God and Jesus, whatever. That's the big rub. You should always have that big faith in the big picture first, and then go see, you know, somebody who might be able to talk to the other side. That's what a lot of priests, and I had a Roman Catholic priest tell me that this is okay and that it's real, that talking to the other side is part of the Bible, and if you need verses, email me at jenweigel.com.
Listen,
and I'll send them to you.
I am the furthest thing from a judgmental Christian, so allow me to be a judgmental Christian for a second. If you question this as a way of connecting, how dare you? I don't even know how you go there, because that's nothing even close to what the Bible's about and what any religion that we subscribe to is about. So I agree with you 1,000%.
But it's real to those who are grieving and who have experienced it, but there are people out there that are not in it for the right reasons.
And that's the issue.
Yes,
right?
There are some psychics, there are some frauds, there are some gypsies, there are some people out there that are doing this for the wrong reasons, and they give all the legitimate people that I've interviewed a really bad name. But that's happened in journalism, in you know, car sales, doctors,
mortgage brokers. Yeah.
Mortgage brokers, it doesn't
easy
matter.
With the car sales and the mortgage brokers. Okay. You know, I will tell you that, you know, I'm not a practicing Catholic. I have a complete faith in God, higher power, and I pray every night. And the first couple nights after Chris drowned, I'd get on my knees and thank God for, A, keep me sober. I've been sober 33 years. And for my loving family and friends.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. And then I would say, but I want you to know, I'm still PO'd at you for taking my kid.
Sure.
And this went on for 3 days until I got a message in bed that said, I didn't take your son. Your son's free will and choices and recklessness caused him to cross early. I welcomed him home, but I don't move people around like a chess piece. And he said to me, I lost a son, too. You know, so if you're questioning whether there's positive or negative, it's all positive.
Let me ask you, and I've got a text here I've got to read to you before we run out of time. This type of thing takes incredible strain on a marriage, incredible strain on a family, for obvious reasons.
Right.
This journey that you're on, and the book again is called My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. Is your family all in?
Yeah, my family's completely behind, and you got it behind me. But you got to understand, everybody heals at their own rate.
In their own ways.
And my wife and I, you know, started healing differently and grieved differently. But we've all been exposed to the other side, and we've all got our stories, and that's their story. But we're all on the same page that he's not gone. They're not gone. You know, he crossed from one room to another, and I can still hear him if I open my ears.
And someday we'll understand why that communication is what it is now.
Right.
Right?
It'll be hopefully later than sooner, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, both of us are going to be around for a while. I want to read this text to you before we go. 815, please tell Joe thank you. I'm struggling this Christmas after the loss of our 41-year-old son from brain cancer in 2015. He was an extraordinarily positive and kind young man. I miss him so. I'm going to buy the book today. It's exactly what I need. Thank you for being on the show.
Wow.
I know you get that wherever you talk and wherever you go, but it's just nice to hear you're touching people.
It's so nice to hear. And what they need to understand and that I had to understand was that this doesn't go away. You know, you make peace with it, you learn to deal with it, you cope with it, but it doesn't go away. And Christmas is always going to be a hard time.
Sure.
And I'm relieved just to get through it. But I've got two other kids that want to celebrate Christmas, so that's my job. You know, sometimes you just got to suck it up, buttercup.
Last question. Christopher seemed, Joe, like a kid that probably had a lot of pals, a lot of guys that he hung with. Have you been able to stay in touch with his buddies?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. By the way, there were 2,000 people at his wake. 2,000. Right. You know, I would have to have 12 wakes for you to get 2,000 of mine, I promise. Right. But 2,000, and yes, specifically the kids, you know, Thanksgiving Day, all the Nutria kids are home. All of a sudden, they're in the living room. There's a cooler going on. And the kids from Northern will all be at this book signing tonight. We have a golf outing. 24 of them showed up last year at the anniversary of his crossing, which is January 3rd. So they're almost like all kids to me, all sons and daughters to me right now.
It's got to make you feel great.
It makes me feel like $1 million.
Winnetka Community House tonight. What time?
7 to 9.
7 to 9 tonight. Get a signed copy of My Search for Christopher on the Other Side. You're always welcome here. You know that.
Well, you know, don't make those offers if you don't want me hanging around.
Listen, I know you hang around with Jimmy DeCastro a little bit. I don't know that that's great for your image.
Well, you know what? Yeah, it's sure great for my soul, though, so I'm grateful to be around.
Yeah, the human energy source as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's an honor to meet you. Come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. It's good to be king,
just for a while. The great Jennifer Weigel is here. Aren't you writing now, too?
I am, for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I mean, not just your book.
Yeah. No, I have a wellness column every Wednesday at the Chicago Sun-Times. So go to suntimes.com. It's the well section, because you know that's my jam.
Yeah,
wellness absolutely. Is my thing.
Right. And what sort of wellness are you prescribing?
Well, last week's column, because it's posted every Wednesday. I can't tell you what's coming up on this Wednesday yet. But
that she can't tell you because she's missing the meeting right now.
That's right. Missing a meeting.
Well, what editor do we need to thank for your appearance here?
Oh, Romana. She's fantastic. Chris Fusco. He's fantastic. Yeah, Haisley. All those folks.
Yeah.
But basically, we are planning some live events, too, around some of this wellness, which is pretty great. But people are just anxious to get well. This last column I had about vegan dogs, people are making their dogs vegan. The vegan people are now raising vegan pets. It's a thing, Steve. It's a thing. So I interviewed a couple of vets.
Is it a good thing?
That's up for discussion. It was a big debate. One vet said absolutely. Another vet said, no way, they're scavengers. They need meat. So, you know, everybody's got an opinion.
Dave, is Ozzy vegan?
Is Ozzy a vegan dog?
He is not a vegan. In fact, every night after dinner while I'm cleaning up, he sits at my feet, basically, and waits for me to drop a piece of chicken or fish or something, some sort of leaf.
Does Ozzy like kale as much as I do?
He does not. He will not touch that. I put the kale in his bowl every night.
He likes it as much as you do. Well,
yeah, I guess he does. Kale?
Is this like a love-hate thing? You've never been able to go there. For 20 years, I tried to get you to eat something healthy.
There's some green things I eat.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
If they're iced cookies that are green and shaped like Christmas trees.
I like broccoli.
Okay. All right. That's good.
And then there's broccoli.
Is that with or without the cheese on it?
You know, I'll leave broccoli raw.
Yeah.
I'll just grab a stalk and start eating.
Oh, and you know what? Joe McQuillan, the last guest that was just in here, is my next guest at Conversations with Weigel, my live series at the Wilmette Theater.
Well, enough about kale and broccoli. Let's talk about some great food. You want to introduce our new friend?
Yeah. We have Vincent Lawrence from the Imperial
Lamien. Yes.
There you go. I got it. He is the CEO and owner, and he brought us some delicious food.
What'd you bring?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us here.
No, forget about the thank yous. What'd you bring?
It smells really good. It's
sitting
next
kale,
to me.
Not kale, not broccoli.
Yeah, so far, it's a home run.
So I have jasmine ribs, our house smoked jasmine ribs. And then I also have golden crab fried rice with some 24 karat
gold.
That's
crab jasmine fried rice. Ribs. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Like Bruno Mars, 24 karat.
Yeah, it's a 23.9 karat gold, which is edible and...
There's seriously gold on top of this pile of rice, everybody.
Yeah, it's a beautiful presentation.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, we're excited for the holiday season.
Now, do you also chef then?
I'm not a chef. Okay. I cook for my family. Okay. And I leave the cooking in the restaurant to trained chefs.
Yeah, well, that's probably a good thing. That's why you're so successful. All right, so let me ask you a cliched question. How busy is an Asian restaurant on Christmas Day?
Very busy. So we're open on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and it's the busiest, number one busiest day for the year.
Yeah. It's not just a sitcom plot. Of course it is.
It's a culture.
Exactly right.
We're happy to be, serving Chicago best Chinese food.
And the two things you brought in, where do they rank on the menu in popularity?
So jasmine ribs have been around since we opened, and I would say it's probably top 10. Sold
like
items.
Justin's doing like a Vanna White thing.
Yeah, he is totally like on the Price is Right now.
We smoke them every morning.
Okay.
And when chefs smoke them, the whole restaurant will smell like jasmine smoked ribs.
Right. And what about crab rice?
The crab fried rice, start launching it this coming Friday on the 21st, along with other two food items and a couple of festive cocktails.
I love great fried rice.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a difference.
Steve has a brother named Mickey who just turned 60, and Chinese food is his favorite meal, and he says it makes you smart.
Yeah, yeah, that's his theory. His scientific theory is you become more intelligent by eating Chinese food.
Absolutely.
That should be my next wellness column for the Sun Times.
I just gave you a free tip.
Thank you.
The restaurant, Imperial Lamien, is right at Hubbard and State, and it's right in that Hubbard Street corridor, which has seen so much change in the last, decades now. But it's amazing because the turnover is high. How do you compete? Because you're expanding. But that space in general has seen a lot of different places over the last 10 years. How do you compete on Hubbard Street against
Correct.
All the big places?
Correct, yeah. So as we started, the project about 3-4 years ago, and restaurant's going to be celebrating its 30-year anniversary coming March.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And we got to stay competitive. And unfortunately, with Chinese food, there's a generalization, how it should be viewed. Mm-hmm. And I think we stay competitive by offering experience. It's not just a place to go eat, but an experience as you step in all the way till you step out. So from a service standpoint, from the decor, from the music, from the ambience, the drink menu. Not only that, we're very active in social media, so follow us, Imperial Lamien Chicago. It's on Instagram and Facebook. And we're expanding. Next year we hope to open in Schaumburg, our second concept. It's going to be more family-friendly, more approachable concept in Schaumburg.
Why do you say it's more approachable?
I'm sorry?
Why do you say Schaumburg will be more approachable? What's the difference?
It's just going to be more family-friendly.
When children come in, you don't yell at them and tell them to get out.
No. But it's more high-end on Hubbard Street.
I don't want to turn people off to coming to Hubbard Street is my point.
Well, it's not going to be as dimly lit during dinner. The music is not going to be loud. Okay. There's going to be kids' menu.
Okay, well, there you go. I just want to make sure everybody
alone
understands.
Will be a few days to draw.
Yeah.
Right.
Congratulations on the success.
Oh, thank you.
Is it true the first year is the toughest?
First year was rough. I will tell you, I was working 7 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day. Second year is getting better. And
third year, you haven't been to work at all.
And I actually get to spend time with family now.
How about that?
So there you go.
Crazy concept.
Yeah, I was actually, the past couple of weekends, I've been staying home with my family, just chilling and cooking. Great.
You're getting ready for the busiest day of the year, which is the Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That experiential thing is really big. Young people now, I know your children are millennials, that's their thing. They don't want to just buy something or go have a vacation where they just book a trip and that's it. They like the experience of you have to have that extra level to get them to engage.
I don't think that there's a category that's more pronounced when it comes to whether it's good or bad.
Chinese food, great Chinese food, will always stand out. Bad Chinese food will always stand out. So I know how well you guys are doing it, so I salute you. We're going to come over and have lunch or dinner with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, anytime.
All right, website?
www.imperial-lamian.com.
Spell it. And not the imperial part, that part we know.
Okay, Lamian is L-A, Larry Apple, Mary, Ivan, Apple, Nancy.com.
Lamian, oh, nice. L-A-M-I-A-N.
It's actually mean hand-pulled noodles, so we do hand-pulled noodles. We have an open kitchen.
Oh, okay.
You can see our chef pulling the noodles fresh.
Remember, that was my name when I danced, hand-pulled noodles.
I was
going to
say, wasn't that your morning drive name in the game?
And don't you do...
I like his dance name better. Morning drive, that makes sense, but his dance name, hand-pulled noodles, take it away!
And I think he was in a band called Bad Chinese Food.
I was, actually.
I know the dumplings are big, but they don't travel as well here. We're going to do dumplings this morning.
Yeah, we have soup dumplings as well. We have 6 different kinds.
Sounds great.
That one we sold a lot.
As a matter of fact, I don't even know why we're working. Let's go have more of a money.
We're open in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, for us, open now. what about a phone number for reservations?
312-595-9440.
Well, happy holidays. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thanks
to
for
you
coming
all.
Over. Congrats on the success.
Take care. Thank you so much.
It is 9:57, and I just heard a rumor it's Bennett's birthday today.
Oh.
Is that true?
Yesterday. Yesterday.
Oh, it was yesterday.
I was going to say it was the 16th, yeah.
Was yesterday DeCastro's birthday?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. You didn't know that?
He didn't put a gift in the mail?
That's how Bennett got the job. He had the same birth date. I slipped Jimmy a $5 bill.
That's good, because he needs the cash.
I thought I'd just take care of it. Go here, take this.
Don't spend it all in one place.
It looks like I got a birthday shopping thing I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we run out of time, Jen, tell everybody where they can read you, see you, and hear you one more time.
Okay, jenweigel.com. The podcast, I'm Spiritual Dammit, is right here on WGN.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sun-Times every Wednesday, the Well section. Go to suntimes.com. Subscribe today.
All right, and next live show?
Oh, January 17th at the Wilmette Theater.
Tickets?
Wilmettetheater.com.
Okay.
It's a good place.
And Wilmette Theater is spelled the fancy way.
Theatre. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. I don't know what you do on New Year's Eve, but we have a show.
I know, actually. I'm really thinking about that. Can I bring my child, or is it 12-year-old
No, it's fine. No, totally fine.
Really? Really?
Because here's the thing. You know this. Yes. On New Year's Eve, you can get drunk at a crowded club.
Yeah.
You know, please. You can go to a restaurant and have a decent meal, but you may overpay because it's New Year's Eve.
Been there.
You can go bowling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They jack the prices up on New Year's.
Yeah. Yeah. The surge bowling prices.
Surge bowling prices.
Yeah. Or you can come to our show.
Yes.
And it's seriously family friendly? Like, I could bring a 12-year-old.
Well, it's not Mary Poppins.
Okay,
you know,
I got
funny.
It. But
and
sometimes,
go ahead.
Sometimes my outfit's a little risque, but.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is that. Yeah. Yeah. He's wearing
as long as you and John are matching, you guys are going to wear like the onesie, or do you have plans like that?
Mine has snaps.
Okay.
That's all I know.
And it's really awkward when you have to be changed.
Yeah. Which is at intermission, so it shouldn't affect anything. So.
Okay.
Tim Banker. Tim, you're still coming, right?
I'm still at the show. I'm the announcer for the show in case anybody needs to know.
Tim Banker and Ross Cochran and John DeCoste, Steve Cochran and Dean Richards. And Rocky Laporte.
Mm-hmm. How great is
this?
It's
going to
be great. It's my
tickets
favorite.
Where?
Tickets go to eventbrite.com, B-R-I-T-E, eventbrite.com. It's real easy. Click. We got tickets. You show up. We do a great show.
But what, do you have to do a search on Eventbrite? Like, would you have to, I think, because Eventbrite is a big site.
Eventbrite, if you put in Steve Cochran, I think there's a good
then it'll come up. See, I knew there's got to be something
you spelling search. Cochran? You okay?
No, I'm good on that. I'm just saying, for all those folks who aren't Eventbrite savvy.
Right. And Cochran spells his name the fancy way, theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
It's Corcoran with an R.
There's another break? Oh, I didn't know that. All right, Justin, you're on tomorrow Wednesday for me, and I'm back Thursday. Yeah. I'm checking the traditional pre-Christmas week, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, and then I'm back on Thursday.
I won't see it because I'll be gone, so Merry Christmas, buddy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Like ships in the wind. Is that what they say?
That's
what they say.
That's a cliche.
Trains in the night. I can't remember.
Ships in the wind.
Two ships that passed in the wind.
Dave, will you be here Thursday?
I will be here Thursday. I won't be here New Year's Eve, though.
All right. Dave and I have to talk this out. We're back with, who's on next? I don't even know.
I saw Pete McMurray.
Pete and Jane.
Pete and Jane are here. Okay, Pete and Jane will join us in just a second on 720 WGN.